Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Who's got the wiener schnitzel? Let's see, next, we got roast beef au jus. Who's got the roast beef au jus? Last but not least, foot long. Who's got the foot long?
PFW in Progress.
Okay, gang, you know the rules. No humping, no pushing, no sniffing hind.
With Fred Kirsch.
Wool, host, annual,
host.
Host.
Annual.
An annual meeting of
the big one. International Preservation Society tomorrow night.
Paul Perillo.
Hey, I guess they're right. Senior citizens, although slow and dangerous behind the wheel, can still serve a purpose.
Don't you go dying on me.
And Andy. And Andy?
Nice set of Hooters you got there.
I beg your pardon?
The owls. They're beautiful.
Andy Hart.
Must have been following us for weeks.
Why so?
How the hell do they know that I got gas?
Eric Scalavino.
I can't feel my fingers anymore. They're numb.
Maybe you should wear these extra gloves. My hands are starting to get sweaty.
Extra gloves? You've had this pair of extra gloves this whole time?
Yeah. We're in the Rockies.
For now, anyway.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah! PFW in Progress.
You fellas been doing a bit of boozing, have you? Sucking back on Grandpa's old cough medicine?
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
Want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Guys!
Fellas, if we could listen to the radio or something.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Fred, Andy, and Paul are here. Doc's in the booth. Eric is, where's Eric? Not coming in? No? All right. Anyway.
Was not released yesterday, contrary to some published
reports. A great game on Sunday, and I think, you know, history will say that this was a better win than it looked. Because I think Miami is a better team than most people give them credit for. And I think at the end of the season, when it's the best time to judge schedules, I think we're going to realize that.
I've heard that before.
That, hey, that 10-point win in November against the Dolphins was a solid win. It was. It wasn't as easy as some people might have thought it was. So.
Well, I don't think it was easy at all. I mean, I told Paul upstairs, I left that game with, I don't know about judging schedules later, I left that game with a lot of respect for the Dolphins, and it's what they've done all year. They stay in games with everybody
right. Somehow. And
somehow
they've been scoring over 30 points.
Changes week to week, but they stay in games. You know, if you're going to play the whole head-to-head, as everybody likes to say, you know, who have the Colts played? You know, they're not really 8-0. Well, if you're going to play head-to-head, then the Dolphins are one of the best teams in football, because when they play the best teams, they slug it out with them. They lose, but they could have beat the Saints, they could have beat the Colts, and I think they could have beat the Patriots.
Yeah.
You know, I think quarterback, they were severely lacking. They had a quarterback who, when pressured, underthrew the ball, couldn't be accurate, wouldn't step into his throws, maybe lost it a little bit with the timeout and everything. But they came to play. They put up a fight, and I think the game was closer than the scoreboard indicated as at the end.
Yep. No, I agree with that.
I agree with both of you guys. I think it was definitely a hard-fought game. I thought,
but I don't think it's going to change. I mean, I don't think they're going to end up
No, they're going to be lucky to be
10-6 team or an 11-5 team. How many losses do they have now?
Five.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to be 11-5 and you'll say it was better.
But I think anyone that right now saying, oh, the Patriots shouldn't have had that hard a time with the
Dolphins. Hasn't watched the season.
Exactly.
Well, I was surprised they had that hard a time, but it's what the Dolphins have done.
Yeah, I was surprised that they didn't win the game easier, no question. I thought 34-20, I thought the Patriots would score more points, and I give Miami credit, but I really do think the Patriots had opportunities to score more points. I thought the red zone troubles, you know, kind of reared their head for the second week in a row. They kind of struggled against Tampa, even though that was a laugher. You know, you forget the interception in the end zone there, and a couple of the touchdowns came from outside the red zone. You know, the long one to Aiken, the long one to Watson. So that was the difference to me in this game. I thought Miami, and give Miami credit, that's what they do, and Bill talked about that after the game. Miami is a tough red zone defense. They're accustomed to holding teams to 3 points. They did that enough times early in the game so that in the fourth quarter the game was still in doubt. And you're right, it was a 7-point game. And let's face it, the last field goal was given to the Patriots by Miami going for it on fourth down when they had no choice. You know, if they had punted the ball, they lose by 7 instead of 4. I mean, instead of 10. So, yeah, give the Dolphins credit. They played well, and it was a closer game than we thought, and evidently the fans thought it was going to be exactly the way it unfolded.
And I think they'll
half of them.
I think they'll continue to play well, Miami.
Oh, probably.
But they'll continue to lose games because they're just not very good.
Right. They're lacking in that one position quarterback for the most part that's just going to keep them down. You know, the Wildcat can keep you in games. You know what I relate the Wildcat to? There used to be a boxer from East Boston called Johnny Ruiz. He had a very...
Chelsea.
From Chelsea, East Boston. Same thing, right?
No.
All right.
And was
anyway,
he called Johnny Ruiz or his name was John Ruiz?
Anyway, he had a very unorthodox style, and he fought some really good fighters and eventually got a belt in one of the categories, you know, IBC, whatever it was, because he had such an unorthodox, you know, guys that were, had traditional styles, had a hard time with him.
He was very boring, too, and he was a very defensive fighter. I think that he was a big guy who was defensive, and that's how he was able to have success, which the analogy is not far off because the Dolphins are a big physical team that, you know, they play defense. They kind of counterpunch you.
Right.
And they stay in games as a result, and they don't beat themselves. They didn't turn the ball over against the Patriots, and the Patriots had like a 15-game streak with which they in which they've turned created at least one. So that's a big – they don't beat themselves. They didn't turn the ball over last year. They've done it a little more this year, but not a tremendous amount. And ultimately, they just lack –
they can't beat
the playmakers.
You.
They can't beat you. And that's why, I mean, I think at the end of the year, and Andy and I talked about this before the season started, we both looked at the schedule. Miami has the most difficult schedule in football, and statistically. And we both looked at each other and said, they're probably going to be a better team than they were last year, but they won't have anywhere near that 11-5 record. And they're on pace. Let's face it, they're going to be lucky to be 6-10.
Right. So the problem last year is they finished, you know, obviously last the year before. So they had a... And then this year they finished first in the East, so they have to play Pittsburgh. They have to play San Diego.
Well, plus just the divisional split. Yeah. It's the same issue the Patriots have, the divisional
anyway,
split.
Anyway, we're giving a lot of credit to Miami. Well-deserved. None to Joey Porter.
And I give a lot of credit to the Patriots, too. I think the Patriots played a very good football game on Sunday.
No, and that's my point.
They didn't score in the red zone.
I'm complimenting the Patriots by saying how tough an opponent the Dolphins are. You know, so.
Word.
Good game. Yes, red zone was a problem again. And I think one of the problems for the red zone was, you know, give Miami credit. They did well against the running game for the most part. I thought early Maroney had some room. Later on, they bottled him up pretty well. And when the Patriots got inside the 20, they didn't have the confidence to run the ball. And, you know, that was the problem. That one play in the back of the end zone of Moss, the play was there, but Miami made a good play, you know,
very good
defense
play
on it.
Jason Allen, that was one of the best defensive plays that I've seen. That was a really, really good play.
You know, good play.
Rarely does Moss have his two hands on the football and not end up making the catch. And
even more rarely does a guy come up.
Allen came
usually
up from
comes down.
In between the arms and knocked the ball loose. You know, he had the one to Benny, too.
Right, he should have
had
it.
And I know he's a running back. Right. He's a little used running back. But I don't think that was a difficult catch. I think he made it a lot tougher than it needed to be.
But he is who he is.
Yeah, but you got to have that one, Andy. NFL player has to make that catch.
Yeah, he's barely an NFL player.
Okay.
Wow. All right.
That's not meant to be a shot at him.
Well,
he's an undrafted
was.
Guy who kind of wowed everyone once you're in the league. And
I think you got to make that catch. That's just me.
I think he's got a better chance of making it than your first-round pick running back does. I think he has zero chance of making that catch.
I would agree with that. He has as good a chance of making it as Ted Ginn did.
Now, why do
I would agree with that.
Why do you have to take shots at Maroney?
I'm
game.
Not. I'm talking. The comparison was about expectations. Certain guys I would expect and say you need to make that catch. Ben Jarvis Greenell is not on that list. I'd like him to. I think he should. I think a pro should. but I'm not necessarily going to say he's got to make it.
Well, on the curse words, a lot of people who normally are bashing Maroney were saying, wow, he's doing okay.
Yes, they were. He got 20 carries, 80 yards, had a nice little game for himself.
He did. I think he ran well when
you people ebb and flow with your Maroney analysis.
They do.
No. You people. There's no they in it.
They do.
We. The letters are W and E, not T-H and E-Y. Can you say it? Because you cut ties with the guy
so
a month ago.
So you're never going to admit he had a good game, even when he
I say it all the time, and that does not make me expect he's going to have a good game the next week.
Okay.
That's what I say.
That's what people were doing. They were just saying that he had a good game. So why do you have – they're in the same boat as you.
No.
Yes.
You people – Vacillate.
He had a good game. That's all they were saying.
To do with vassal.
Nothing more, nothing less.
But you, in particular, I can't speak for all these people because I don't know how exactly the specific people change week to week. But you tried to cut ties from yourself, which is hard to do. You cut ties with him a month ago. Then you want to ride him as a franchise back. You need to decide where you are on Lawrence Maroney.
I did cut ties, but I'm all about redemption.
Okay, so you want to bring Larry Johnson in to redeem himself?
No.
Oh. But you were all about redemption.
Yeah, so I thought he had a decent game.
First 20-carry game in the regular season since when we all talked about his best stretch as a Patriot.
07.
Which led to 20-carry games in the playoffs. He had that 4-6 run of 100-yard games. I thought this was a nice one because it wasn't the buck 43. It didn't include any 45-yard runs. I think his longest was 10 yards or 11 yards.
Yeah.
It was a nice effort. What you're looking for just as a running back, just give him the ball. And maybe he is. Maybe he needs to get the ball more. Maybe, you know, we've always said he hasn't earned the right to get the ball more, but maybe he does.
Maybe
and
he is.
Out of necessity, when you have Morris and Taylor sideline, maybe he benefits from he's got to be the guy.
Yeah. Early on, I thought, you know, the Patriots were going to just run away with it because they were moving the ball up and down. You know, everyone was catching passes. In fact, everyone except Welker. Welker really didn't start getting into the passing game until a little later.
Which cost him the record, Paul. The 10 catches in three straight.
He had most of his catches were in the first half. But he had six in the first half. That's when I wrote the note,
A little later, but not in that first quarter when, you know.
Yeah, no, you're right. Most of them were in the second quarter, Fred. You're right.
Aiken was catching the ball. Moss and
Ben Watson.
Watson.
You want to talk about two guys that we've spent a lot of time criticizing, cutting ties with. Randy Moss. Benjamin Watson had a nice, another solid game.
You two guys.
And you got the two first-round picks, Maroney and Watson, maybe secondary roles, but, you know, kind of doing what you want them to do. 20 carries, 80 yards, four catches, 50 yards, a 23-yarder. Yep. You know, kind of what we're looking for. Just do that. We'll be happy. Don't drop the ball when it's thrown to you. We'll be happy.
Now,
this game was all about Randy Moss, though.
Oh, yeah.
He offensively was Brady and
but
Moss.
But it's always
Brady and Moss
be.
Was the difference.
It's always going to be.
Brady was as good as, you know, you're going to see him. He was not under a tremendous amount of pressure on a play-to-play basis. I thought the Patriots' pass protection was outstanding on Sunday. Obviously, the Joey Porter thing was the big topic of conversation after the game. But there were times when Miami blitzed him at the perfect time and got through, and Brady just made the reads, made the adjustments, and made the plays. One on a 3rd and 10 in the second quarter where he was under an all-out blitz from Jabril Wilson, who came in completely untouched. And Brady just slid a little bit to his right, flicked a short pass over the middle to Welker, and Welker got the first down. It was as good a quarterback play as you can get. I thought Brady and Moss in this game were absolutely outstanding. Moss's plays, you know, were just physical wonders. I mean, the one-handed catch down the sideline, the stiff arm on Vontae Davis for the go-ahead touchdown. I mean, those are just special plays. But, I mean, everybody saw those. I mean, it's not a whole lot of analysis that goes into that. It's just a special player making a special play.
Now, Copen goes down. Vollmer's already in the game because light. A little bit of a different look on this offensive line, but they did pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, I thought the running game did slow down in the second half. I thought Miami did a little better job. But like you said, Paul, protecting Brady, giving him time, you know, I think they did a decent job, even with Dan Connolly coming in there on short notice, you know, with Copen out and Vollmer having to go up against, you know, a pretty good pass rush,
mm-hmm.
you know, that Miami can create. They did okay.
And both guys, based on recent comments from Bill Belichick, are in competitive battles for playing time, regardless of kind of what's going on. He said Connolly has really gotten better and right on the verge of competing for playing time, which you only can assume if he's competing for playing time, Copen, Neal, or Mankins won't be playing if he's playing, you know, injuries aside. And then he was asked about Light coming back, and he kind of left the door open for a battle there at left tackle when Light's healthy, and Vollmer being in, you know, competition for playing time, and maybe right tackle plays in there. You know, we've always talked about somebody getting moved and Kazier out, but they got a couple guys not in the starting five that they got a starting seven now.
Should we be a little worried about Steven Neal and penalties lately, and maybe Connolly could be, you know, that might be a position up for grabs.
Has he had a lot of penalties?
Right
Did
guard.
Neal have a lot of penalties last
night? He had another key one yesterday.
On the fourth down.
On Sunday,
right.
Yeah.
Oh, he got called for that one?
But I also thought somebody else did.
Bill was not happy with that whole play.
No, I am not really worried about that.
Not worried. Okay. All right.
I mean, if we're going to – Mankins has had more.
Yeah.
If we're going to just go by penalties and that as a barometer of whether you should play or not, he's had more.
I thought Vollmer's played every game, you know, with Light out, but I thought – Sunday was by far his best game. You know, obviously his biggest test. And Bill talked about, and before we get lost in it, Bill talked about the amount of time the tight end spent staying in. There were even times in the shotgun where they had two backs to pick up guys coming through. And Bill talked about that a lot in postgame about how much help they gave the two tackles. But still, there were times where he was asked to block Jason Taylor, times where he was asked to block Joey Porter. And those guys really didn't have much of an impact on the game at all. It wasn't like they were getting close and Brady was beating the pressure. They weren't there.
Yeah.
The pressure that did come, the little pressure that Miami did get, was from the inside. Randy Starks, I think, had one. Cameron Wake, your boy, Andy, had one.
Making waves.
Although that was as much of a coverage sack as you could
Still
ever possibly.
Waves.
That was the one that almost cost him, I think, the field goal at the end of the half, wasn't it? Was that the one that came late in the half? Where
I
Brady
believe that was the one with the 1 second
getting
play.
Getting the last play. So I thought, Vollmer, your boyfriend, you were on.
But he was on an island at times because they went five wide,
times,
spread it out at times.
I said there were times. The very
you
first
can't
play,
hide a guy at left tackle
the
in
the very first play of the game.
He stinks.
The very first play of the game, Andy and I looked at each other so much for protecting the tackles.
Well,
they were five wide
play,
and they had no help.
There was actually one play where I wrote at the time, Brady was in the pocket. You know, his mental clock went off and he kind of abandoned the pocket and started rolling out to his right. He should have stayed in the pocket because he ran right into the rush and got sacked on that play, I think. He should have stayed in the pocket another second longer. And I think in his mind, he realized on that play, uh-oh, Vollmer's out there by himself. My clock's going off. So he, you know, just instinctively ran right into pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if he had stayed in the pocket, he would have had another second at least, you know, to throw. So it was interesting. You saw the game last night.
Yeah,
and I have, you know, your guy did.
Mendenhall
well.
Is ridiculous.
Okay. Although they were blocking like
Mendenhall
like
is ridiculous. But now the line that couldn't get out of
one,
its own way is
Mendenhall.
Did you see
is
the
ridiculous.
One play where Dumervil was trying to come around the left tackle, and the guy that's playing for Pittsburgh, he's like 6'8", and he just ate Dumer up. I mean, it was unbelievable to see the size difference between Dumervil.
Are you confusing that with Ryan Clady eating up James Harrison?
No. It was Dumervil.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I don't know who their left tackle.
Because he was like, they said, look at Dumervil, 5'11", going against 6'8". You know,
it'd be the same thing with, and I know Clady is 6'8", the Broncos left tackle.
I think Gruden said, I've never seen a size mismatch on the line like that.
You sure you're not talking? Because I saw
no,
them.
It was definitely Dumervil.
Gruden talked about it, and they were talking Harrison Clady. Because John Gruden. First of all, every week John Gruden picks out somebody who's mad. He's madly in love with.
Right.
If he could have every one of these every week, he would build the greatest team ever. He just drools all over him. But Ryan Clady was wowing him.
And by the way, as much as I like Jaworski, he's not needed in that booth. No, he really isn't. I mean, all he does is kind of echo what Gruden has just said or tack on something Jaws. To it.
And it's almost like he only echoes it when Gruden, whatever his comment is, ends with right Jaws or like tosses it to Jaws.
And,
so
and then there's
clean this up a little.
And there's definitely some points where either Gruden's in the bathroom or just says, look, I'll step back for a little bit and let Jaworski talk.
You think he takes bathroom breaks mid-play?
I'm just saying.
PC football?
I'm just saying he goes from he goes from like talking every play to not talking at all for a series.
Maybe he's eating a hot dog.
Yeah, but all they need is Gruden in there. That's all they need.
I love him.
He's really good.
I hope he makes the decision. I don't need the stress. I'm staying in the booth for the next 5 years.
Yeah. I think he could be the next John Madden.
Everybody is saying that
that's
he
how
is
much
definitely a... coming back, huh?
Yeah.
That's the word is by the, you know, the so-called.
Right there. Oh, Notre Dame's not going to take him after they fire Charlie Weiss? That's the
no,
rumor.
No, no. He's going to get a job in the NFL.
There was an initial rumor that he was going to Louisville, I think.
Yeah. That's the first one he shot down.
But he's going to come back. Which
I think
clearly his interest is to come back and coach, not to stay in the booth.
Right. Well, I think
according to you know the Schefters and the Mortensons and those guys, that well, let's face it, those guys are pretty connected.
Yeah. Well, John Madden made a pretty good living doing the booth.
Yeah. The difference is John Madden got out of coaching on his own for his own good. You know, he says.
Yeah.
Gruden was fired. I mean, there's a difference.
Yeah,
there.
He's going to want to come back and prove it to everybody that he can do it, which is fine. But he's really good in the booth.
Well, not the least of which, he wants to continue doing it.
Maybe
didn't.
We should get back to why we started this discussion.
Mendenhall.
Mendenhall is ridiculous.
I can't
he had a great game.
Game,
but you have to admit, and what impressed me the most is his speed. He showed amazing speed.
Did you watch, I believe, the first play of the game
like crazy
for him? Did you watch the first play of the game?
No.
He just, it was one of those where there was no hole there, and it was a 7-yard gain.
Yes.
It was just,
I only saw.
He has power and speed. If
he
doesn't fumble.
Like crazy.
They're not that good.
And that's another line. Roethlisberger had an amazing game, despite the interception
bad
he threw.
Pick, yeah.
Yeah, that was a bad pick. But he bought himself time. He played great.
He's
very good player.
Yeah, he is.
He's not great. I won't say great because Brady and Manning.
I'm saying he's great.
He'd be great if they weren't in the
league. Those occasional mistakes that Brady and Manning don't seem to.
That's the difference.
But you know what?
I think he's a great quarterback.
I'm saying he's great.
Well, he is, but. I just want to separate. There's two, and then there's him.
Well, there's the elite, and then there's great.
No. Yeah. I didn't know we were breaking it down
no,
like
the war
Jim
of eight-
Landry or whatever.
There's
Chris
great,
Landry.
And then there's
the
goat.
War of 1812.
There's great.
I had to listen
goat.
To Chris Landry coming into the game on Sunday. I've broken the league down into, I think,
seven
categories.
Oh, I saw that.
Below average, 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 slightly above average, pretty good, good, and great. And I'm like,
I know, but
how long are we going here?
He said that, but I couldn't disagree with most of what he said, though.
Right,
I,
but who
I kinda,
cares?
Well, if you're breaking it up that,
right.
you know. That distinctly.
I've broken it down to eight groups. I call them the AFC East, the NFC. I mean, who gives a rat's ass?
If you're saying I have good, great, good, and bad.
Right.
Well, okay, now you probably have some arguments. You might have a good that should be in the great or
and even
a bad
worse,
that's better than that.
He did his analysis, and in the middle of it, he'd say, but this team, they're close to above average, but I got them in average right now, but they're one game away from getting into above. Are you kidding me? Who cares?
That's funny.
You make fun of my up arrow system for grading prospects.
I missed I didn't see any of the game last night though, so I can't comment on Mendenhall.
He's ridiculous.
155 yards though, Freddie. That's close. Power.
A lot of times,
you see him spinning out of tackles. A guy grabby spins, gets another 6 yards.
I wish he hadn't run out of bounds as much as he did, but
he does do that a little. You know why? Because he fumbles.
Well, yeah, and he
get out without a hit.
He fumbled again by the goal line.
Fumbling is his issue.
On the review, I don't see how they said it wasn't a fumble. But anyway,
did the Broncos recover it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Fumbling is his issue. I mean, that's him being great, because I think he's going to be elite, but the fumbling.
But there
issue.
Was one play where he went around the end. He had a lot of his, in the second half, a lot of his runs were around the end. They had this play where the guard would pop out and do a double block on the edge, and it was just wide open. And
pop out and do a double.
And he
is ridiculous.
There was one time where whoever it was from Denver had the perfect angle on him, and he just put it into another gear and just ran right by him.
How'd your boy Ty Law look?
Fat.
I saw three plays of the game, and I was telling Andy this before. It just happened that they were all kind of significant plays, but the first play that Ty Law was in the game, I happened to just click it on. And he grabbed a good hold of Hines Ward. This is actually vintage Ty Law. I mean, physical on Hines Ward right in his face. Then he grabbed his shirt, got away with it. And then it was a play that Roethlisberger scrambled around forever and ended up getting sacked. But they showed the continuation. Ty was in trouble. I mean, by this time it was 6 or 7 seconds, though. And he got beat. Yeah. But Roethlisberger couldn't get him the ball. But, you know, it was one play I saw. Did he look bad the rest of the game?
I think he looked nondescript.
You'll have to ask somebody else because we're not going to get the
truth.
Believe
it or not.
But it's amusing.
Believe it or not.
It might not be the truth, but it'll be amusing.
The cornerback that got burnt the most was Champ Bailey in that game.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Who was he covering?
Hines Ward. A lot of times he went after.
Ward had about 40 yards receiving.
But they were big plays. And he also was covering number 10 a lot.
Santonio Holmes, MVP.
The last touchdown of the game, Champ Bailey, you know, went for the tackle, and you saw that Moss just hurdled him and went right over him.
And you probably won't agree with this because you hate him. It's not Moss, I know, but let's just keep moving. Ward,
whatever.
You hate the Steelers and everything, but I love Hines Ward's little, I don't know what to call it,
jump
skip
into the
over
end
the end zone.
I like that. I don't like really a whole lot.
Because in this day and age, it's hard to find something to do to make yourself totally unique. And he's the only one who does it, and it's cool. It's kind of dorky in one way, but I like it.
It's distinctive. I respect Hines Ward a lot as a player. I think he's a very good player, has been for a long time. I do think there's a dirty element to his game.
Oh, God, yeah.
And I don't like
that. Well, the other players,
I guess,
think
is
so
he's
too.
The Rodney Harrison of receivers.
I'm bringing
I bet
up
if
now.
We went to his locker every day, we'd say, he's a nice son of a gun. And then when he's coming back on some linebacker and ending
Korean.
His career.
Yes. So that means he's a nice guy?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
He
is a nice guy.
He's very nice to his mother.
And evidently he is extremely...
Koreans are nice to their mothers?
No, he's nice to his mother.
Extremely charitable, by the way, from reports. But I just don't... I think some of those hits that he made, I think those are sucker shots. I don't like them.
Just like Rodney.
They're dirty. Yeah.
Just like Rodney when he was driving a forearm and under face
And I would say
mask.
That about Rodney. Even though I love Rodney, I have to call it the way it is. He was a dirty player.
But I think they're very similar.
So... I was, believe it or not, as much as I hate the Steelers, rooting for them because I am just sick of
Josh McDaniels,
of Boy Wonder act on the sideline, running up and down, you know, all that nonsense and carrying on.
Good game for you then. I mean,
yeah.
Three interceptions from
the
quarterback, no offensive touchdowns.
All those three teams, the Patriots, Broncos, and Steelers are 6-2. Broncos have to go to Indy to play a game. You know, so if the Patriots can knock off Indy, you know.
Well, if the Patriots can knock off Indy, all of that other stuff is going to be irrelevant because the Patriots won't end up with more than three losses.
Well, I know. You can say
so
that.
So it's irrelevant.
But I'm just saying they've lost a head-to-head with the Broncos.
Fact.
So I need the Broncos to end up with at least three losses.
They're going to end up with 8-8. I told you that already.
Well, that's great.
Maybe 9-7.
I hope you're right.
10-6.
But, you know, for seeding, it was a good win for the Patriots last night.
They have three. They have
maybe.
They have four wins on their schedule. Without having to beat anybody good. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to win them all, because everybody loses to somebody. I mean, Patriots lost to the Jets.
Right.
I mean, anybody could lose to anybody.
Right.
But
those might not be easy wins. I'll let you know come January.
But Kansas City, Oakland, and Washington are teams that they should beat, and they have four games against those three teams. They should win those four games.
We'll lose at least one.
They might. I'm just saying. They're a better team than those four teams by a lot.
Maybe. Not sure they're by a lot over Washington.
They'll be handing the Super Bowl
Washington
trophy
is
to
terrible.
Pat. They'll be handing the trophy
They're
to
the
Pat
ones
Bowl
thinking about signing Larry Johnson.
I think
by
you
the
want
way.
To play the Bill Belichick game. I think if you put Josh McDaniels in Washington, everybody's talking differently about them. They're a pretty good football
no,
team.
Not with that offense. I'm sorry.
I think if the commissioner were handing
Kyle
the trophy
Orton.
To Pat Bowlen in February, Andy would be going, I'm not sold.
No, I'll just do
that. Good.
Worst Super Bowl winner ever.
Well, I do have to say though that Kyle Orton did not look good. And whatever it was Pittsburgh was doing, I was reading on Pro Football Talk. I don't know if it was just Florio saying something that somebody else said or his own thinking, but you know, maybe the rest of the league is caught up with this act.
They've realized he throws the ball within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage 99 out of 100 times.
Well, whatever
well, one
it
of
is.
The, one of the other three plays that I happened to see in the game was the pick six that he threw in the first
they
half.
He tried to blame on the wild horse.
And that,
what did the wild horse do there? Nothing.
Who blamed that on?
Somebody was like, and the wild horse backfires on him.
Not at all.
No.
He threw the ball about 8 miles behind him.
Kyle Orton backfired
bad
on
throw.
Him.
And I don't know. It didn't look like any confusion to me at all in that play. Just a bad physical throw. I don't think
no
it
question.
Was a bad read or anything. He kind of got flustered a little bit in the pocket. Listen, Pittsburgh usually is a pretty good defensive team. They picked him off three times. I don't think it's an indication anybody's caught up to anything. And I think the Broncos defense played another solid game for the most part.
Yeah, they did.
You know, I think that when you throw three interceptions like that, you're going to lose.
And not only that, a lot of the passes that Roethlisberger completed were unbelievable pinpoint and had to be pinpoint passes because
right.
there wasn't a lot of space.
And it was 21 for 29, I think he was, something like that, but it was only like 200 yards.
Yeah.
So the Broncos secondary, I mean, they may have given up some plays, but they also made some plays. And listen, when you get picked off three times like that, and then with 7 minutes left in the game, it was still only 14-10.
Right.
When he threw the third pick. Yeah. They had the ball down 14-10 with 7 minutes left. He threw a third pick that Roethlisberger did exactly what Brady would have done. He went to the end zone and hit Mike Wallace of 60 minutes.
That's right. So that was actually a good.
I wish that game was like the Sunday night game, so I could. I just didn't
feel like watching football.
The things I watch on Monday.
I had to pick up the kid, and he had a lacrosse practice at this place called the Canton Sportsplex. So idiot Fred, I figured, oh, must be in Canton. So I plug in the GPS. I end up in some cul-de-sac in Canton. I don't know where the hell I am. It's in Stoughton. So.
I gotta back you up there, though. It's the Canton Sportsplex. I think it was a pretty safe assumption it was in Canton.
What did you type in as the...
It was 5-something circle. That was it. So the first thing you do is you type in the town. I typed in Canton. Then I typed in the address. And there just happens to be the same street name in Canton.
Well, that's the...
So it took me exactly to this house.
That's the problem they've had lately with Patriot Place.
And I'm looking behind the house. Maybe they just run it from the house. I don't know.
Some people are being sent to Patriot Circle in Foxborough.
Oh, really?
For Patriot Place. Google is sending them there.
Yeah, but if you type in circle, you made a mistake. I typed in exactly what it
was. Well, but if you accept it, you know, you can accept it, maybe.
Accept what?
If you're typing in P-A-T and it gives you a circle pops up and you just click yes and don't really pay attention.
That's human error. That's you know.
I think there was some human error involved in yours,
too.
Well,
your human error is that you assumed that it was in Canton.
I assume
you know what happens when you assume.
You know, I figured, you know, they call it the Canton Sportsplex. Maybe it's in Canton.
I did that once. I had to go. I was supposed to go pick someone up. They were babysitting on Country Club Road in Melrose, and I knew where Country Club Road was, but it was in Stoneham. And I went, and I was like, "There's no number, whatever the number was, on this street." I'm driving up and down. This is before cell phones, too. So I was like, "But I didn't know what to do."
Wow,
he was actually whipping the horse in front of
me. All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. webradio@patriots.com 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Got to say big thank you to Jim in Texas.
Jimmy.
Coming through on short notice.
Yeah.
And coming through.
He's the best.
Doc was supposed to do Qdoba and didn't give Qdoba enough time.
Big surprise
or
there.
Or Tacoma was supposed to do.
Doc.
I don't know why you have to.
Whatever.
Listen.
What? I was supposed to do
delegate?
It. Sorry.
Do you delegate?
Yes, I did.
Responsibilities. You just like.
And your anthem was off
mistakes in the paper
again,
are ultimately
it?
Fred's fault.
By the way.
I'm not saying those helicopters were off. I'm saying you were off.
The guys that sang the anthem, that's the rhythm that you're supposed to sing it in. Fast paced. That's the way it was written.
Not fast enough. They were a little behind the helicopters.
Were they?
And I'm going to say
the
that
they had Black Hawk
I doubt
helicopters.
It. I doubt the helicopters doubt were it. Off. You were off. I give more respect to our military than that.
Oh, by the way, great job on the Joey Porter graphic on the video board. I loved it. I guess at some point, you know, during the game, they flashed Porter's stats.
0.0.
Exactly. And all the fans started yelling, Joey.
We're allowed to do
love
that kind
it.
Of stuff?
Love it.
Why don't we do it more often?
And then.
That's good game. That's good day of game entertainment, by the way.
That
Why don't we do more
job.
Of that?
That's
I want to see that all the time.
That's what you're hired
well,
you're
to
do.
Are you not supposed to do it? Why are you being all tight and pansy in there?
And then to top it off, Big Mouth.
I can't hear you. Your mic's not
after,
on.
After spouting off all week, doesn't have the balls to face the music after the game.
Oh, that's the only thing I had a problem with, Fred. You're absolutely right. I don't have a problem with
Has
the talk.
Has someone else carry his bag out of the locker room?
Your boy, Andy. Reggie Torbore. He carried his suitcase out for him.
I mean, he's too good to be doing that, Paul.
That's unbelievable.
I could not agree with you more. I have no – you want to talk? I don't
care.
Talk, and I don't
talk,
even
talk.
Care if you lose. Right. So what? You lose. It's supposed to be fun, all right? I hate Joey Porter, but not because of that. You got to stand there and talk when the game's over, much like I didn't like when the Patriots offensive linemen all bolted in Miami when Miami beat us, whatever,
or when Tom Brady did it.
No, I don't like
against
that.
Against the Colts.
I don't like that. And that's as Lawyer Malloy would say. That's just poor to me.
That's poor to me.
It was really messed up.
All right. We've got a lot of emails coming
Thanks,
in.
Thanks, Jim.
Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in? It
says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Hey, Brian, it's Dad. I heard you won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay. Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. And you want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on the New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together and talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
Man, it's football season. I mean, usually the house is decked out by now. You know, the football lamps and the big wall posters.
Dude, it is decked out. But this year, I'm working on a higher level.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Well, you're just not on that level. I've got razor-sharp Fios TV from Verizon, so I don't just watch the game. I feel like I'm in it. The whole place has ultra-quick Fios internet, so my computer becomes my own personal press box.
Right, so, no little football helmet soaps in the bathroom this year?
Sadly, no. But with ESPN MVP, I get stats, scores, and highlights sent straight to my wireless phone.
With Verizon's Fios TV and internet, plus wireless apps like ESPN MVP, you have everything you need to take your football experience to the next level. Verizon, official telecommunications provider of the New England Patriots. Select VCast phone and VPAC subscription required. Fios available in select areas.
You are so far beyond football-shaped serving trays.
All right, welcome. We're here. It is Saturday, April 26th, and finally, draft day is here. And this, of course, is PFW in Progress's Draft Extravaganza.
Now, Andy Hart breaks down the NFL Draft.
Yep. Mendenhall.
One.
Mendenhall.
Two.
Mendenhall.
Three.
Five. Mendenhall.
Four.
Rashard Mendenhall available.
Five.
I'm going Rashard Mendenhall.
10.
Rashard Mendenhall.
17.
Arizona could get Mendenhall.
18.
Rashard Mendenhall.
23.
Pittsburgh, Mendenhall.
27.
Mendenhall, and I can root for the Steelers with Roethlisberger and Mendenhall.
29.
Lima Swede to Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh Steelers. Select Rashard Mendenhall.
Sorry, but the Patriots became the second best team in the AFC right then. Mendenhall is ridiculous here.
Yeah, Eric, and you're supposed to be the gay one.
Who's on the clock?
By the way, I lost interest once Mendenhall got drafted.
All right, web radio at Patriots.com. Those are heady times.
It is one of the best that we've ever done.
Web radio at Patriots.com, 508-543-7482.
He openly admitted he lost interest in the rest of the draft.
We're going to have to figure out, though, with this draft, how we're going to handle it radio-wise, because it's extended over, four days now?
That's a good point.
Yeah.
3 days, yeah.
We're going to have to figure that out.
Won't we just
might have to work
three?
At night that year.
We're going to have to
work at night at some point since the selections are taking place at night.
Time out. It's an option. We might have to work at night.
Well, I
like to put it that night off then.
What time is
Fred
it?
Fred probably has a concert at Fenway to get to.
It's at a prime time thing?
Yes.
Oh, okay, so we are going to have to work at night.
The first round is in prime time, definitely, right?
Yeah. I think the second one isn't. Maybe it is. I don't know. I just don't get the whole stupid thing anyway.
Yeah,
so.
It's really not what we're
But I assume
for.
We're going to do shows, right? Three nights?
Yeah, I would imagine.
But I think the email's already in my inbox that it was the best ratings that the draft has ever had.
Already.
2010.
Already, yeah.
Yes.
Paul doesn't buy those ratings
I don't.
Emails.
Okay. I don't. I think you can do anything
so
you
ridiculous.
Want with statistics. And they do.
All right. Webradio at Patriots.com, 508-543-7482 is the phone
number. Fred telling us Ben Watson's one of the best tight ends in football.
I'm not the only one saying it.
Yes, you are.
And by the way, I didn't say that. I said he's having a good year. Period.
First thing he says is, I'm not the only one saying it. The second is, I didn't say that.
That is what Fred says. He's having a good year.
I know. For any tight end.
The argument was, yeah, for Watson, he is. He's having a very good year.
I said, for any tight end, he's having a good year.
So that means you think that he is one of the better tight ends. For any tight end, he's having a good year.
A good year. I didn't say a great year. I said a good year.
And here we go, ladies and gentlemen.
I mean, it's just like unbelievable. Yeah.
All right, you going to get to the phone call?
Oh, phone call. John. John's on the phone. How you doing?
Hey, good guys. How are you?
Hey, thanks a lot for lunch.
It's Jim.
Oh, it's Jim. This is John.
What's that?
This is John.
All right,
Jim.
Blow him up then if it's not Jim.
You're welcome.
This is John. John from Texas?
Yes, there are more than one.
Wait,
Texas is a big state.
More than one listener.
Who bought lunch?
Jim from Texas in the Coast Guard.
And this is John in Dallas,
which is also in Texas.
Right.
But I know that it's hard to imagine we have more than one listener.
So, John,
in
you didn't buy lunch?
No, and I'm not in the Coast Guard either.
Okay. Can you do me a favor and call Jim and thank him for me?
Sure, I'll
a small state. Just pick it up. Pick up the operator. I need Jim.
Any Jim you got.
All right. So, John, thanks for any future lunch. And how you doing?
I'm doing well today. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Excellent.
Really, really doing well after that win, especially on Sunday. That was great. Kind of shifting gears a little bit towards to the Colts game. Let me step back a second. What I really like about last week is it looks like Pat Chung is getting more and more playing time over the last couple of three games.
Yes.
And he's doing a lot with that playing
time. That's true.
You saw the physicality, the speed as he blitzed up the middle or slightly up the middle. With the problem that the Patriots have been having with the rush, if we give Manning too much time, he can pick us apart. So what do you guys think? What do you think the Patriots will throw at Manning that's going to disrupt him? I mean, we haven't consistently bring the pressure from the front three or four. So can we see more of the safety or cornerback blitz or something like that?
I actually think they will not blitz a ton in this game. Yeah. They'll do some, but I think they're going to go with the old flooded. I think they have a lot of guys in the secondary they have a lot of confidence in coverage, and I think you're going to see a lot of them put to use.
I do think that when you do see them, I don't think they blitzed a whole lot on Sunday.
No,
I think that
they
made huge plays, and I think that's what you're going to see. I think Bill and Dean will pick their spots, and I do think what has made it kind of interesting, John, is the point that you brought up. Add Chung to the mix now of all these defensive backs that are playing regularly, and you have, five, six, seven guys sometimes on the field. You can afford to send a couple of those guys because you have enough still in coverage, and I agree with the philosophy because I don't think you have gifted pass rushers up front. So there's really no need to have a guy on the field on third down just to pass rush when, say, Derek Burgess, he's not getting there. So why not have an extra defensive back and then send one of those guys? Maybe you can fool. I mean, that's what happened to Miami. They sent Merriweather and Chung on that play. Well, they picked up Merriweather, no problem. They stoned him. But no one touched Chung. And as he said, anytime you go untouched like that, your eyes are going to light up.
And I've seen him rush the last 2 weeks, Peyton. When the rush comes up the middle, he doesn't like to run.
Right.
He probably likes to escape and get out of the pocket less than Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
He likes to stay in there. And so if you can push him out through the middle, make him go to left or right, you can force him to get rid of the ball faster than he wants to. And
he doesn't like to throw on the move either.
No, he doesn't.
The age-old thing.
We've seen the floaters that end up in Ty Law's hands over the years.
The age-old thing of going against Manning is always the buzzword is the spot. Right. Get him off the spot. Right. And he is, I think Brady is a lot like that too. I think you're absolutely right. And I think that Manning even more so than Brady, because I think Tom will move out of the pocket to throw, whereas Manning
throws
doesn't
better
look
on
like,
the run, too.
Yeah,
Manning loses
he likes to do it.
30% of his accuracy when he's on the move.
Yeah.
So how do we put him on the move then if we can't generate
Vince Wilfork
something significant
and Jerod Mayo?
Tully Bantakane, I think.
He was
in the backfield
pressure
four or five times on Sunday. Had a few hits, strip sack.
He killed Jake Long on Sunday.
Who stinks?
He killed Jake Long on Sunday. He did. And I said that to him after the game. And he just kind of laughed, but It wasn't in Prescott.
Get off your knees.
Tully Bantekane.
I think Tully Bantekane.
Look at him.
I agree with what Andy just
he's
said.
He's way better this time than he was last time. Yeah,
look
I don't know
at
what
him.
Changed. I don't know if he learned something from Mike Nolan.
I think it's pretty easy what changed. They stopped asking him to do seven things and said, just do one.
Yeah.
And he's done it.
Bill said,
Bill told
us to do the same thing.
Bill told us in the summer what he was going to do.
No,
and,
I know.
And it's worked out.
But I just think physically he looks better. I mean, I don't know whether
confidence.
He's something. Yeah.
It clicked. Whatever it is, he just got it. You know, now he gets
I think he's played,
you know,
pretty well.
But, John, I agree with you. I think they're going to need to do a little of that because I think if you sit back, Manning will find the guys that are open.
Oh,
And no matter how many guys, no matter how many guys you have in coverage, Tom Brady and Peyton Manning will find the openings.
You don't
so I think
who
you
Peter
have
Waiter
to get
is?
Peter Waiter.
Yeah. Pete the Waiter is Pierre Garcon.
Oh,
that's what I call him, Peter Waiter.
I thought it was Eric outside a locker room.
Here's where Fred pretends he made it up. Now,
who so made it up?
They got four.
All of the highlight shows call him Pete the Waiter.
So they got four receivers, right? Do they typically? You know, if the Colts go. Four, or they go three consistently. You know what they run.
Well, Dallas Clark.
Well, Dallas Clark to me is a wide receiver. So yeah, I would say four.
Right.
If you count, so if you count him as a receiver, well, he's basically the same size as Watson.
Like, yeah, but I mean, he's
a receiver.
He's leading the league in catches.
Yeah, he's got like 60 some odd catches already.
So can you use the same philosophy used in past weeks in terms of putting McGowan on him?
Well, that's what they're saying is that he's going to be Rodney Harrison in this game, and he's going to. Play that role against Dallas Clark.
Yeah, I mean, I would think that that's probably part of the plan. And Andy brought this up in the preview. Dallas Clark has not had good games against the Patriots.
No.
In his career. Not very many, anyway.
No. I don't think it's all 1-2 catch, no touchdowns.
No touchdowns, yep.
He hasn't. I mean, some of them he broke
However,
his leg or, you know, there's some other reason.
Reggie Wayne, when Bill can start using Reggie Wayne as the guy that he can have thank us for going in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
Because Reggie Wayne has had big games against the Patriots.
Yeah.
And you add Cauley and Garcon, and the backs also catch passes a die anyway. I don't know how many receptions Donald Brown has, if he even plays.
A low number. But a die is their third receiver,
Adai's a good receiving running back.
He's got a lot of catches.
So, yeah, they're going to have four receivers on the field, John, I would think.
So if you match up McGowan on Clark, right, do you have to double – Reggie Wayne, I mean, with a corner and then a safety.
Well, I think
down.
Wayne is the guy you want to take away, and Clark. Those
and I think,
are two guys.
I think you probably double both of those guys.
Yeah.
But you're not going to be doubling.
That leaves you, if you even go with five or six defensive backs, that leaves you, I mean, you're pretty much man on man the rest.
Yeah, well, I don't think you need to double Austin Cauley and Pierre Garcon.
But then who do you have to bring, right, if you want to blitz, you know, Chung or McGowan.
Well, you don't.
Well, when you blitz, you're not going to be double covering two guys.
That's
when you blitz.
That's the game you play.
That's the danger.
I mean, when you blitz, it's not single coverage and everybody and one guy you decide not to cover, but you hope you get there. When you blitz, it's a guy that you would have been double teaming somebody on. Instead, he blitzes.
Or sometimes, if the guy goes uncovered, you just hope he gets there in time.
I got to tell you, I would
as Bill would say, there's no defense that calls for that.
Bang the crap out of Dallas Clark at the line of scrimmage. I think he's soft. I'm not a big. The numbers say he's great. I think he stinks.
And I'm right. I'm right with Andy.
I think he. You want to go Ben Watson? I think his hands are better than Ben Watson's, but I see him double catch a lot of passes, not catch some.
Yeah.
And I think he's a little soft. I think if you line Adalys Thomas out there and just say, you know, the old story, bang him into the Gatorade table, I think you will take Dallas Clark out of that game.
Okay.
That's what I'd like to see.
I'd like to see it.
ED on him.
Sure.
And just like you said, just like. Not even let him get off the line.
But, right? That's what I'd want AD to do. I'm not asking him to turn around.
Right.
But McGowan will be in the general area so that when he gets past AD, there's somebody there to
And that's
pick
what
up.
Harrison did in Foxborough. He would line up close to the line, hit the receiver, you know, Marvin Harrison, and then pass him off.
And they also really manned up. In Indy, they manned up Rodney Harrison on Dallas Clark. Truly, you run with him. If you remember, there were running plays where Dallas Clark was running down the field and Harrison was running away from the ball carrier.
He was a shadow.
Just going with Dallas Clark.
That was the game, the great game in 07.
Right.
He just killed Dallas Clark. Yeah. That 24-20 comeback win that we had.
I think it's back to one of those things Bill says. You can take it away if you want to, but what are you giving up?
Right.
Right.
You know, if Joseph Addai is running right behind Dallas Clark with the ball and Rodney doesn't know it, then you're giving
something
up.
And that's what you have to worry about. It's like in San Diego last year, we decided to take away LaDainian Tomlinson. Well, the Chargers didn't care because he wasn't part of the game plan where they just wanted to throw bombs all night and we couldn't take that away.
The world was introduced to Malcolm Floyd.
Right. So, all right.
Well, what about on the offensive side of the ball? How do you see How do you see Vollmer matching up against Freeney or Mathis? I mean, it's kind of like it's almost like a replay of last night's game where you had that giant, you know, left tackle against that against the 5'11".
Yeah,
I think this will be a good test. You know,
I think it's very similar to last week.
Freeney, what's his stats this year? I mean,
8.5 sacks, I believe.
Is it already?
Yeah, he's a good player, Fred.
Yeah, he is.
Fred doesn't want to say it, but he is.
But he hasn't right. Killed the Patriots. That's
nope.
another guy that
he's another guy that's been average against the Patriots. He's been better than Dallas Clark, but still not anywhere near what he does against everybody else. He has made some big plays against the Patriots, though not necessarily sacks, but plays that he has forced the ball. Matter of fact, I think if I'm not mistaken, he came clean off the edge on the last play of the AFC Championship game, and Brady threw the pick to Marlon Jackson. I don't quote me on that. I might be missing that one, but I think he kind of caused Brady to move a little bit. And he threw it, for some reason, to Ben Watson.
The thing I would worry about with him is that spin move, and we saw Styles G. White get the edge at times on Vollmer. If he's so fixated on the edge, that makes you so susceptible to that inside move. And
I think you'll see the tight ends again, like they did Sunday when Bill talked about, you know, it's not going to just be one thing. They'll do a lot of different things.
You know, like you said, they split out. They had Falk and Ben Jarvis Green Ellis in the game at the same time split. And, you know, sometimes one of them would go out, but sometimes both of them would stay home and block.
They'll have to do that again. They'll have to, especially
right now.
And you can do that because Randy Moss, John, is going to get open against the guys that were working at the car wash last week. You know, this is all new secondary guys. You know, Kelvin Hayden's out. Marlon Jackson's out. Bob Sanders is out. These guys, it's T.J. Rushing is like a return specialist who's like the third corner right now.
And last year when they went into Indy, it was kind of the same thing where they signed someone off the street, but it was Matt Cassel.
Exactly.
It was a different Patriots offense.
And even then, they should have won the game if what's his face,
Gabby
can catch the ball.
Jabber-Gaffney.
Hey, so last question before I leave you guys. How come where was Tate last week? I know we saw him on the returns, but I didn't see him in the offense.
Yeah, he started the game, actually. He was on the field in the first play and three wide receiver, but he got a little dinged up, I guess.
Well, he went deep early.
He never was announced as an injury.
He had a couple chances, but I just think he's limited in what he can contribute to the offense. I mean, we saw it in London where they all said he didn't know the play, and then he got banged up in the second half, as Fred said. So I wouldn't expect him to be a major part of the offense for a while, if at all.
Yeah, and he definitely was dealing with an injury, and that kept him off the field in the second half. He didn't return kicks in the second half.
Right.
Okay, guys. Hey, last thing.
You just said that.
Yeah, I know. One last thing, because this goes back to we started off the conversation about lunch.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
I owe you guys lunch.
We'll pencil you in.
Yeah, in Houston.
In Houston?
Oh, in Houston?
Yeah,
when's
I'll
that?
Be there for the last game.
Can we go to Treasures?
I'm driving down from Dallas. I got tickets to the Pats Texans game.
All right.
That's a good gift for you.
How far drive is that in Texas? Like 2 days?
Yeah, and I go past Jim's house, too, so I'll pick
those. Pick them up. All right.
Good stuff, John.
All right, John in Texas, thanks for calling. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. Let's get to some phone numbers, shall we? Oh, by the way, Doc hands me this.
It's where you were in the nickname Soggy Pants Perillo.
This was actually posted around 10 o'clock.
I don't know why.
Keep an eye on the Pats and Larry Johnson. When the Chiefs cut Larry Johnson, we mentioned that a source had previously told us Coach Bill Belichick won't want a guy like Johnson around now that Johnson is available if he clears waivers. The same source now tells us to keep an eye on the Pats. So anyway, that's the...
Who wrote this?
This is posted by Mike Florio.
Well, Bill Belichick kind of said yesterday that they're not interested.
Right.
Yeah, he's...
So I don't know if that's a source.
Kind of stuck to my hand.
Yeah, and again, I'm not going to hold Bill to everything that he's... I mean, sometimes there's posturing and whatnot, but he kind of said...
The way he said it...
First he kind of said we're not interested, and then he kind of went back on the well...
Somebody else will probably claim him.
Much like Chris Chambers, we're probably not going to get an opportunity anyway. Somebody will claim him before we get a chance to.
I just think he stinks. I think he's done.
Listen, if he was at the top of his game, you put up with the off-field stuff.
Right.
When his production has gone down, why would you put up with it?
2 yards a carry? Plus, he's been a baby the whole time.
He's a bad guy.
He's a
handful. I shouldn't say he's a bad guy. I don't know him. He's
a
handful.
He's a baby.
He's been a handful for that team since the day they drafted him.
Hey, this is an email that came in earlier in the week, but it has to do with something that both Paul and I agreed on. And I don't know if the emailer is basically making his case right, but in the game before this, we gave credit to Mike Smith and the Falcons.
Oh, yeah, I emailed him.
Oh, you did?
Okay. I did. That's Jeff, right?
Yeah, Jeff in Vegas.
Yeah, I kind of agree.
Well, let me read it so people know it. We all heard last week how Paul foolishly commended Falcons coach Mike Smith for not botching the needing two scores to tie scenario at the end of Monday night's game when, in fact, he did get it wrong. Shame on you, Paul. I agree with Bill Simmons. And basically, the only thing he's disagreeing is he's saying that he should have done it
sooner. Which I'd be fine with.
Yeah.
And that's what I wrote him back. Bill Simmons evidently ripped him.
What are we talking about?
They were down 11, end of the game, like last minute.
They kicked the field goal.
They got a first down like at the 25, you know, roughly. They got a first down well within field goal range. They tried to get the touchdown for three plays, then they kicked the field goal. Bill is saying, and Jeff, the emailer, is saying they should have just kicked the field goal so
right
they
away.
Had more time.
Yeah.
Which I would be fine with. But the point that I was trying to make is a lot of coaches would have gone for the touchdown all four plays,
right.
And if they didn't get it, the game would have ended right there. I think that he made the right call in saying, it doesn't matter if I get 8-3 or 3-8, it all adds up to 11. And
you
ultimately,
extend the game.
You extend
right.
the game.
Right.
That was the point I was trying to make. Now, I would have no problem if he kicked the field goal on
right.
second down or first down or whatever it was. But the bottom line is they needed two scores. They got the ball back twice, and they had a chance because he kicked the field goal first.
Steven Nova Scotia writes in, when Vontae Davis went down, Fred, I thought of you when I cheered for the injury.
I tell you, Vontae Davis gave up some plays in that game. I think he's a good player.
For a rookie, he played pretty damn
well. I think he's going to be a good player. I said at one point, Andy laughed at me. I said, he could play on my team, and Andy kind of laughed. Like,
yeah, because I said, I told you that on draft weekend he could play
on my
team.
And I liked him on draft weekend, too.
He's one of the guys we wanted the Patriots to take when they were trading down.
And I also liked the kid from Wake Forest there, Alphonso Smith.
Crapfonso?
Who hasn't really played that much, I don't think. He's been like a nickelback for Denver, I believe.
Yeah.
Speaking
obviously
of
not playing all that well, unless he's hurt, I don't know.
Speaking of playing on Paul's team, Craig is on the phone. Craig, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. How you guys doing?
Doing great. Well, you don't sound fine.
No,
you sound depressed.
Down, buddy. What's
the matter?
What's the matter?
Nothing wrong. I'm just enjoying the show. I'm just chilling. You know, I'm sitting here working in the office, listening to you guys talk, and I figured I'd give you guys a yell.
Okay.
That's better.
Yeah.
Is your boss
you guys get each other all jazzed up. I mean, I'm sitting here by myself, so what you going to do?
Well, you got the internet.
Yeah, there you go.
You get all jacked up.
Hey, guys, a few things about the Miami game. You know, Miami is a very tough team. Their record, you know, as you guys said earlier, is not indicative of their play. They're missing a few pieces of the puzzle. Otherwise, you know, they would probably be contending. They're a tough team, whether they're at home or on the road. So, you know, am I happy we won? Hell yeah. I am a little bit concerned going into the Colts game at our lack of efficiency on offense. You know, we got two offensive touchdowns, and I think against the Colts, while our defense is improving, they're still young, and we do have some injuries, especially at defensive end. So I'm a little concerned and hope, you know, that we're a little bit more efficient with our offense in the Colts game.
Well, I was going to hold off until, you know, we have to do our TV show, and you guys already sent in your prediction. I don't know what your predictions were, but Maury emailed me, said he needed mine.
Guys,
I'm saying
42-20.
I think the
Perillo,
Patriots are going to blow them out.
Here we go,
I'm
boys.
Stunned.
No. Believe me, I've picked the Colts.
This is a real 42-20.
No, I've picked the Colts to beat the Patriots before in picks. I think the Patriots are going to blow them out. I really do.
Well, they could.
Okay.
The used car salesman, Paul likes to use car wash attendant. I go used car salesman that are playing corner.
Well, used car salesman, I mean, that's a whole different thing.
What's the difference?
Well, I think that our offense is going to put up some points on them. Again, whenever you're playing another high-powered offense, turnovers are always a big key. We really need to win this game. Not only, you know, for the playoff standing and winning the division, tiebreakers, things along those lines, but we need to defend our own record. Okay, we are the record holders. We won 21 straight regular season games.
There's a lot of, you're right.
And the Colts right now have won 17.
That's
you know
right.
what? They lost a game in the middle. It doesn't matter to me. They haven't won 17 in a row in my mind.
Oh, the Colts?
They've won 17 of their last 18 in my
mind. But
we love you. We know how it only matters. There's a big distinction there.
I know.
They did not win 21 in a row the way the Patriots
did. You're right.
And they won't.
Right. But here's the thing. For that reason, you know, to be the team that first beat the Colts this year and ruin their thing, for seeding, just because of the Colts, there's a million reasons why the Patriots need to win this game.
Absolutely.
You know, aside from they just need to win because it's a regular season game in the NFL.
Try to win all of them because they keep the next one.
Right. But no, there's a lot of motivation. I think for both sides, too. I think the Colts look at us the same way. You know, this is a bigger notch in the belt than...
There's a lot of respect on both sides.
Yeah, absolutely.
These, to me, are the best two. I don't think you can hype this game enough.
Right.
You know, I think they're the best two teams over the last decade. And I know that the Colts don't have the championships to prove it, but... Year in and year out, they win their first 10 games, it seems. They're always, always in the conversation, and we know the Patriots are always in the conversation.
Well, guys, let me ask you something. Do you feel like we've become somewhat vanilla offensively?
No.
No, I wouldn't say that.
No. I think, as a matter of fact,
I'd like to see us be a little bit more vanilla offensively and run the ball a little bit more at times. Not more often. I mean, in certain spots. And, Fred, you said it, the red zone stuff. I'd like to see them run the ball a little bit more, especially inside the 10.
Yeah. I think the only difference between what they're doing now and what they did in 07 is on a lot of the long passes, they're not connecting. But they're taking just as many shots.
Yeah. I agree with you. They took, they've taken a lot of shots the last 2 weeks that have been unsuccessful.
Right.
On bad throws.
I guess what I'm shooting for is you don't see quite as much misdirection plays. Now, I know Billy always holds one back, you know, usually for the Colts game.
Well, how about the double,
like
how about the double
the pump
screen
fake
that we
on
saw
the
Sunday.
Bubble screen and
yeah,
you
didn't
know,
see
waiting
that
on the DB to bite.
I thought they had a great double screen from deep in their own end Sunday that got them off the goal line. You remember that play, Andy?
Yes.
It was a fake
PFW
one where
correctly
turns
predicted
around.
It.
Yep, right. Here comes a screen.
Split backs, screen.
Yeah.
Well, the Colts, they know us pretty good. I mean, they're not a division rival anymore, but we play them every year, so
right.
It ought to be a hell of a ball game.
You know,
and
that's why it comes down to who makes the fewer mistakes. And like you said, Craig, you mentioned the word efficiency. That's one thing the Patriots will have to be. When they have the ball, they have to be efficient with it. They can't, you know, not take advantage of any mistake that the Colts make because – that's, you know, that's what this game is going to come down to, is who can be most efficient on offense. I think the Patriots will win that battle this week.
Well, I think, you know, they're going to do their share of doubling up, you know, especially Randy. But I think, you know, Watson, you guys have heard me in the past, you know, say he's got hands of stone, but the guy is playing awesome this
Watson
year.
Watson loves indoor stadiums.
And based on the depth and who is playing in the Colts secondary, Watson is set up to have a breakout game,
yeah.
And I really hope he does. I'd really love to see them just pummel the Colts.
What about Chris Baker, though? What's going on with him?
He's blocking.
Swung and missed on that one.
I know, but, you know, you would think by now, he's scored a couple times.
Well, just because he's not catching passes doesn't mean he's not doing what he's supposed to do.
I understand that, but why aren't they going to him more?
But they're not even targeting him. But that's the difference to me. That isn't an indication that he's not doing his job.
Yeah.
It's not like Watson in the past where they've targeted him five times every game and he's only catching it twice.
I'm not saying that Baker's not doing what he's supposed to do or that
he's
blocking. But why aren't they using him more in the passing game?
Because Watson's catching the ball.
Okay.
I think that's the reason.
But if you had both of them in there, wouldn't it be even tougher for the defense?
Why? But what makes that tougher than...
Because you never know which tight end's going to be the guy to release.
See, the part that I don't ever understand, and Andy and I kind of laugh about this, no one can stop Randy Moss and Wes Welker. Why are we concerned about spreading it around to guys that maybe the other team can stop?
Aiken had a couple catches.
Two catches. Big whoop.
I'd like to see Baker get
a
couple catches.
But why do we care
about
that?
Just to give another thing for defenses to think about.
Fred, to be honest with you,
what part of the offensive production is not up to speed?
Well, red zone?
One game.
No, it hasn't been just one game.
Where do they stand in points scored?
Points scored is different than red zone offense.
Two? Are we second
they're
in points
scored? They're about 16th in red zone offense.
With Tom Brady, they should be better than that
in the red zone.
I just look at this offense. I don't see more than one or two offenses that are even close
to the
Patriots.
Still with us, Craig?
Yeah, I'm sitting here giggling at you guys.
I got to defend the Patriots from Fred because he's just such
well,
a negative.
Hey,
Millie.
Listen, Fred. The reason why Baker hasn't been, you know, getting as many calls is because when he has had the opportunity, he's either one, not getting open, or two, he's a little bit too slow, you know, for some of the safeties that have been covering him. And at this point, he seems to be a better blocker than he is receiver because of his lack of speed.
Patriots are 26 in red zone offense.
But what are they in points?
26.
Points. What are they in points?
Total points because they're scoring from outside the red zone. But
so
when they get in there.
Who cares about the red zone if you're scoring?
They're 15 of 34 in the red zone.
I'm not saying that their red zone is good. I'm saying what has their offense
been
like?
Thanks, Doc.
What has their offense been like?
It doesn't matter. When you're in the red zone that often, you should be scoring more points.
All right. How's the defense played?
Defense is playing great.
Well, their red zone defense hasn't been great.
Playing great.
So I guess they're not playing that great.
No.
Right.
Okay.
Well,
all right.
We're
Patriots
a very
played
good team.
I'm,
we're only
I'm just
get
trying
better.
To be objective. I don't want, you know.
I think I am trying to be objective. I think the Patriots have the second best offense in football behind New Orleans.
Okay.
That's my objective.
And they could
opinion.
Have the first if they did better in the red zone. 26 is not good, Paul.
No,
that's
unbelievable.
Freddie,
this,
I
this
think
is like
that'll
saying
get
they're,
better.
They're
part of
third
that.
And 10, they're not they're at the top of the
Greg,
league.
Greg, what's up?
Part of that number is because Welker was out a couple of games. We haven't been in the end zone a whole lot since he's come back.
You mean the red
you
zone?
You know, I think that's part of it. And I think, you know, as the year progresses and some of these guys that are new to the team on the offense, you know, you got Tate and Aiken. Those guys are going to start stepping up a little bit more, and maybe Baker will be more involved.
Right.
He was early on.
I think Chris Baker, the touchdown maker, can help him out in the red zone.
Well,
he might
we'll
be
see
able
how
to.
That goes.
He might
hey,
be
you guys
to.
Have think, an awesome day.
I think
all
they,
right, Craig. Get
I
back
think
to work.
Run it a little bit more.
See you later.
Zone. But I don't think Welker is a huge guy in the red zone because most of his damage is on in cuts.
Yeah, he's too small.
And when you're going across the middle.
Right.
It's
he
all
gets stopped at the 1 yard line more than anyone I know.
It's all jam packed down there.
Not that I'm complaining, but you know.
Yeah, because we don't want to get
now
passes
you're ripping
down.
Welker.
We don't want to get passes down to the 1 yard line. Those aren't productive.
He's on the war path today.
He's a nice little
Maroney
player.
Is great. Welker stinks. Brady not getting it done
Watson,
in the red zone.
Watson's great.
Welker's
a nice little player.
Right. Exactly. Thanks, Wes. Web radio at patriots.com 508.
In my defense, I think Dallas Clark stinks too, and he has more catches than Welker.
Dallas Clark does stink.
Let's see.
TJ Hushmanzada, another one you can throw in there.
I think Welker's better than Clark.
I think he's better than both of those guys.
I think Dallas Clark stinks.
Stinks?
Yeah.
Come on. You can't have that many catches.
Yes,
stink.
You can. He does.
No. Let's see. James in Brisbane, Australia.
G'day.
Very happy with the win over Miami. Didn't get to see it, unfortunately, but we're getting at least three of the next four games down here, maybe all four. Anyway, I was on the CBS Patriots board, and a few of the posters were talking about the lack of a third receiver, and I have a few thoughts. Clearly, Bill thought Brandon Tate was a better option than Joey Galloway. Otherwise, he would not have cut him. So while he has some potential, he could be a help for the team now. Anyway, rather than needing our third passing option being a wide receiver, why don't we use, depending on the matchup, Watson or Maroney from their spots as Brady's third go-to guy until Tate is ready to step up full-time?
Well, Watson kind of has been in that.
Watson has been the guy.
He's
Watson
had a good, solid year.
Watson and Kevin Faulk has always
right.
been.
Well, Faulk's always going to be.
He's always the outlet guy.
Yeah.
I'm not in love with Maroney catching a lot of passes.
Although when he does, in space, he's done very well.
To me, he's a diminishing returns guy.
Yeah.
To me, he's a volleyball set pass
the
to a corner, pick
him,
six,
less,
waiting to happen.
Yeah. My other question is, since we all know it's Bon Jovi who sings the new Touchdown song and his new album has been released, can we finally be told what the actual song is called? By the way, Toyota, how do you get those sound drop-ins? I feel I could use a few of those in my world down here.
Toyota.
I don't know what that means, but... Can we say what the name of the song is now?
No. Song's not on the album.
What?
What about the house?
Not in our house.
This? What's the name of the album, by
this
the way?
This song?
The Circle.
Oh. What?
So the name of the album is The Circle, but the name of the song that is played after Touchdowns is not on the album?
Correct.
Is it available via iTunes?
So do you have to buy it as a single? Or what's the name of the damn? Just say the
this
name.
This is Our House.
What's the name of the song, Doc? He's not. He's pretending he
I
doesn't
just told
hear me.
You.
He doesn't want to get in trouble. He's been getting in trouble a lot lately.
Is that right?
NFL is coming down. I think Greg Aiello's on line two.
He's missing anthems. He's doing all kinds of other hijinks.
Meg is... what
was that? I heard voices. I'm sorry.
Voices in head. Got to go.
Meg is in Denmark.
Ooh. Is this a new one? Do we have a pin in Denmark, Doc?
I don't know. Hey, Sages of New England.
Hey,
just
Meg.
Writing in to give my 3 cents on this week's matchup. We win. Indy's got no corners or safeties to cover Mossman or White Wes. If we can shut down...
What was that?
That's what she called Mossman or White Wes.
Can you say that in Denmark, I guess?
If we can shut down Manning for 3 to 4 plays, meaning they go 3 and out, we will be just fine. I believe our D will be up for the task. It's not like they have to worry about Indy's ground game. Also, the game plan is like it's always been with Indy. Pound their smaller D-line and play action over the top of their useless secondary. 28-17 Pats. That's Med, not Meg, Med. Oh, wait a minute.
Oh, is that, it Meg or Med?
No, Med Venlig Hilson. That must something mean some type of sincerely. It's Christian. Christian from
even Doc is laughing in the other room.
It was a pretty long email signature. I'll give you that. It was
tough. I don't know who he is.
Where did Meg come from?
I don't. Med Velix.
I'm going to agree
with Meg.
Van Helsing was a good movie. You ever see that?
I don't believe I have.
Excellent movie.
I'm going to agree with Med, Meg, and Christian in that if we force three and outs, we're going to win the game.
Sean McLaughlin writes in, it's been a while since I wrote. It's been too long to thank Mr. Perillo for taking 5 minutes to talk with me last month before the Ravens game. It was a pleasure talking to him. Want to hear some midseason thoughts from you guys. One, how would you evaluate the Richard Seymour deal now at midseason? Good, bad, or jury still out?
Good.
Good.
I have to say good.
It's been fine. They haven't missed them.
Although I do have to say, the thing I put out there as the measuring stick was the AFC title game against the Pittsburgh Steelers and Rashard Mendenhall running the ball down your throat. Would you like to have Seymour back?
But they haven't
been hurt
him.
By then.
Now you could. I think they would be better
Mendenhall
with
or Seymour.
Seymour.
Can I just say that? I think they'd be better. They'd be better with him.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think they've necessarily missed him, but you know, maybe they would have been that much better on Sunday with him outside and Wilfork inside.
Well,
then
no doubt you would have had. You know, yeah, your traditional.
That, I'm
front.
Just using that as an example.
Right. So the one game maybe you could say with Seymour they would have won that they lost was Denver, maybe?
Oh, I don't know. I can't. I'm not even willing to say that.
I'm not really either.
They may have won both games with him. They may have lost another game without him.
If it doesn't change
the
record favorably, I'd take the first-round draft pick.
But Fred,
I just think they're 6-2 atop their division in line for potentially a number one seed.
That's how I look at it.
And you have a number one pick waiting in the horizon.
I can't sit here and put a numerical value on how many games that would have cost them. How can anybody do that? Much like I say, in 2006, I think if they had receivers,
how can anyone do what we do anyway?
They wouldn't have gone 12.
We do it.
They wouldn't have gone 12.
And we get paid.
I think in 2006 they would have been better than 12-4 with receivers.
But you
but
still
I can't
could
prove
point
that.
You could still point to an AFC title loss or a Super Bowl loss where you get the ball run down your throat and say, "Whew, now I really would like to have that Seymour because now we'd have another Super Bowl."
Right.
Forget about that. Just like people did with Deion Branch in 2006. Had they had Deion Branch, there's a good chance they would have had a Super Bowl.
You could say that.
Right, but I can't prove it, is my
point.
No,
you
never can prove anything.
Can't prove anything.
Bill can't prove that it was a good trade.
Right.
So we're either right or he's right. Neither one can be wrong.
Two, what do you see now from holding the Pats from succeeding in the playoffs? I see two, pass rush in wide receiver depth.
Wide receiver depth. I still have my concerns about the depth of the pass receivers. Moss and Welker catching a lot of passes, taking a lot of hits, and... Mm. Not young.
Wide receiver depth is an issue to me.
And I also don't agree that Bill thought Tate was a better option than Galloway. I thought he had no... He didn't think Galloway was an option anymore.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure he said apples to apples. I think he said, I'll find something to do, but Galloway's not the guy. He's a detriment to our offense. I'm done with him. Cut him.
Three, would you consider Tom Brady for comeback player of the year right now?
Yeah, I guess you have to.
Yeah.
If that's what the... I don't understand.
You
that.
Don't like that. Category.
I don't understand the award.
It's a comeback player.
Yeah, that I understand.
Why? What don't you understand about?
He
what's
understands
he coming
the
back
name.
From? What?
What's he coming back from? An
from
injury?
Not playing.
Then yeah, I mean, it's a blowout. If
the way
the
right. award it's works, it should be a blowout.
No one should even be in the consideration.
I agree.
In the comp,
he
conversation.
Wins it right now.
Yeah.
He should.
If he misses the rest of the season, he should win it. How's that sound?
Then maybe he could win it this year and next year.
I just don't understand.
First
that award.
Back-to-back comeback player of the year.
There is no truth to the rumor that Charlie Weiss will be the new manager at Davio's Steakhouse at Patriot Place in January. Sorry, I'm an Irish fan, too. No, there isn't any news to that.
You lose twice.
But I did hear a rumor that
he's going to be our OC?
Notre Dame could be firing Weiss and offering Gruden a job.
Well, there's no question in the first part.
Yeah.
There's no way he's
I heard if he loses
this.
One more game he's supposed to win, he's out.
I think he's out already.
Well, they don't really have any more games they're quote-unquote supposed to win, but he ain't going to win them all anyway.
Is he going to be back here?
I don't know.
I you know
he's
what?
Not going to be back
not.
There.
I don't know.
I don't think he will either.
That horse has left the barn, as they say.
Now, to make things interesting, if Mangini keeps his job, maybe he'll be the OC in Cleveland.
Maybe Charlie should find Mangini to be his defensive coordinator, because that's what's really killing
maybe
him.
They should both go to the UFL.
I mean, we have a defensive end, and we got two tight ends, and we don't touch the mother.
Woo!
Might want to get rid of that one, too, before that gets on the air.
Also, that song they play for TDs, it's better than Elevation in what has been played for 3 years, but I know it's Bon Jovi, and it's not on the new disc. Is it a song that was just given to the coach?
Nice.
It is catchy. I like it.
You know what they play?
I like it because it's constantly running because the Patriots are always scoring, despite the fact that you know they can't score.
At all the college games, they all play the White Stripes song. You know the song I'm talking about? It's like 12 Army. What's that song that they all play?
Seven Nation Army.
Can you play us that?
Yeah.
Stop playing this?
Yeah, play that for a second. All the college stadiums are playing.
All the college kids are doing it.
It's an old song. It's been out for like 3 years.
I don't know it.
I don't know.
I have a lot of the White Stripes CDs.
Do you?
Yeah, they're not bad.
I don't
like the White Stripes?
I don't know. I don't really know what they sing. I feel awful old.
It's basically a guy and his sister.
If you have all their seat.
Yeah, but play the part that they play. Oh, we have to listen to the whole song. I just want the part that they play in the stadium. That's not it. All right. Well, they do this and they go, and everyone cheers. You know, they. Anyway. All right, that's enough.
Wait a minute. I want to hear it.
Okay.
The hook.
It's a big soccer song overseas.
Oh, jeez. No wonder why Fred knows it.
This is
on touchdowns?
Play?
Well, yeah, but they play it louder. And
but this is touchdowns or like
no,
just in general?
It's in general they play it. It's not a touchdown song.
But we play it at Revolution games.
Do they? Oh. All right. Let's get back to some emails, shall we?
I think our house is better than that.
Well, it's not a touchdown song. It's just a song that, you know, fans kind of chant to. But not that part.
Okay.
I love when he's mad at Doc.
He's got that look on his face right now.
Fred does not suffer.
What else
fools.
Is new?
Strippers knows what I'm talking about because he watches college football.
Even I don't want to get in an argument with Fred right now because he has that look on his face.
Mayor from Tampa says, not that it matters now, but I was the only one to see that Brady's interception call was not an interception. If you watch the replay closely, you'll see that the ball hit the ground when Davis rolled over. Go back and watch the video. I've attached a picture showing the ball on the ground. I looked at the picture, and if that's the evidence, then I can't overturn the call. I'm sorry, Mayor.
Yeah, I saw the play. We talked about it. I think there was a slight chance it moved.
I don't think it moved, Sam.
But I don't think there was enough to overturn it.
By the way, you scared Sam away because
Sam away.
She or he haven't emailed
since. Well, if it's a he, it didn't move.
Either way, it moved.
I'm going to judge my movement.
Just so
like
you know,
Fred judges the schedule.
You know, it moved.
And if it's a he, he's the hell out of here now.
But, yeah, I agree with you guys. That was an interception. Yeah.
Matt, and
an unbelievable one at that, by the way.
And by the way,
so much so that Moss couldn't believe that he looked at his hands and the ball wasn't in it.
Did he really do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, Moss was looking at his hands afterwards.
He's like, what?
It's like me when I used to make errors looking at the glove.
Oh, yeah.
It's always someone's fault.
Never blame the tools. You can blame the tool, though.
Oh, big news. Brady Quinn expected to start this week.
Good use of that, Doc. Fred might be mad at you, but that was appropriate.
Matt from Quincy, I'm a little confused about the roughing the passer call on Pat Chung. The reason I'm writing this is that I heard Pete Shepard berating callers and the ref regarding this call after the game. I then read Ron Borges's today, putting Chung at the back of the pack because of this play. I think they are both wrong. First of all, I don't think what Chung did was a penalty. Furthermore, as we know, on the field, the penalty was called against Derek Burgess. At the time, the announcers thought the refs called the wrong number. But if you let the replay continue, you will see clearly that Burgess drills Eddie in the head with his helmet after the Chung hit as he's going down. I don't think the call against Burgess was a mistake. I just think everyone assumed it was because of the violent nature of the Chung hit. I say all that because I think the way Chung is coming along and I don't think he should be blamed unfairly for committing a penalty on what was, in my opinion, a violent but legal hit. That's how I like my safeties to play. I also think Andy's boy James Sanders' days as a Patriots are numbered. It's bad enough he can't get on the field, but going offside on a kickoff is unforgivable.
That's kind of what I said. He plays four plays a game, and you run offside on a kickoff.
The Chung hit, 100% that was a penalty.
See, I think the Chung hit was also a penalty, but they called it, the email, is that Matt?
Yeah, Matt.
He's exactly right. It was on Derek Burgess. They didn't get the wrong guy. Derek Burgess's was a cheap shot.
They both hit him.
But I thought Chung led with his helmet right.
But I'm not
sure
he hit him
right underneath his chin.
I'm not sure he made contact with his head.
Oh,
I think he made contact with like the little NFL logo on his chest, and that snapped his head back.
Wow, that's a hell of a hit.
But he made contact.
It was a hell of a hit.
His helmet is the first thing that
hit him under the chin.
Right.
Yeah, but I don't. That's not a penalty.
Oh, I think it is.
If he doesn't hit with the crown of his helmet, it's not.
I think he did. I think that's exactly what he did.
Well, no, because he hit. The top of his helmet was aligned with the chin of the quarterback.
Well,
and
if we're getting that, you know.
But you are. That's the way this league works. That's exactly how you have
to
get.
But I think it should be a penalty.
And all of See,
it,
I don't.
And all of it is somewhat irrelevant because
I think it's
a
clean hit. He squared up. Now, the one thing you'd argue is you're taught to put your head on either side. You're not you drive through a guy.
That's what I'm saying.
But that's not a penalty right now.
Well, I think it is.
You can't spear.
He didn't spear because he put his face on the guy.
Right, right.
So if he didn't actually make contact with his helmet.
I think we're looking at it a little bit differently. I think he hit him with the top of his head. You
See,
think
I
he
don't.
Hit him with the front of his head.
I do. I
so
think
that's,
the top
that,
of his
that's
head
where
was
the
a
difference
line.
Lies.
But I want that penalty. I told Paul this during the game because more often than not, if my safeties are hitting
like
that, you're going to win.
Andy said it immediately. He said, I'll take that one.
Absolutely.
Because more often than not, that's leading to bad throws, turnovers, forced fumbles, plays.
I'll take that penalty.
But the thing, this is all irrelevant because Matt is exactly right. This was about Derek Burgess, not about Pat Chung. We can argue whether or not we thought Pat Chung's was a penalty or not, but that was irrelevant because there was a definitive cheap shot that you had to kind of look at the replay. I didn't see it live either. And then the first time we're watching the replay, we're all watching Chung.
A big hit.
Because it's a huge hit. But on the other side, behind him, is a late, real questionable kind of hit by Derek Burgess.
And he had another one earlier.
In his defense, he hasn't been around a quarterback in a year and a half. He didn't know what to do.
Ooh. He threw a... kind of like a shiver to
that was
earlier or later some other time.
Yep. That was another cheap shot, I thought. But I kind of agree with Fred and Andy on this one. I think in the long run, I'm not advocating cheap, cheap hits and
Fred
all that
is.
Stuff. But in the long run, I think if you're around the quarterback and you're getting big physical hits on him, that's going to do more good than the 15 yards that you lose does bad.
And even if
that's
it was illegal, it wasn't stupidly illegal. It wasn't blatant.
And that's what made the Baltimore plays so tough to swallow for them. You know, when the Ravens had those two roughing the passer calls, they barely touched Brady either time. So they're losing the 15 yards, and they're not getting any tangible benefit from it. They're not getting any tangible benefit.
I'm going to get a penalty next time.
I'm going to
earn it.
And, Doc just printed out a still image of it. From the image, it looks
like... Sometimes pictures lie.
No, you really can't tell, but because of how close... His arms are wrapped around his body. You would have to say he led with his face,
That's
not with
I
the
said.
Crown of
if
his helmet.
If he
but
didn't
still,
lead with his face, it's not a penalty.
Yeah, it's hard to tell from that picture.
Yeah, Fred's right.
But it looks like his helmet. It looks like his helmet is on Henny's left shoulder.
I don't think that's his helmet. I think that's something else. I think that might be the background.
No, that's definitely his helmet.
That's not his helmet. Hey,
that's definitely.
Can I see that?
But Henny's head is already
snapped
off. The impact has already happened in that photo.
Well, we'll find out what the NFL thought because if they thought that was a penalty, he'll be fine. $5,000 or $7,500 or something.
Right. Mike from Kennebunk, Maine. I like to see how teams do the week after they played the Patriots as an indication of how physical the Patriots are doing. So far this year, the opponent result the week after the playing the Patriots is Buffalo 1, Jets 1, Atlanta had a bye, then 1, Baltimore lost, Denver 1, Tennessee had a bye, then won. Tampa Bay won. So everybody won except for Baltimore.
Well, most of the teams had the week off afterwards.
That stuff doesn't really mean anything.
Perhaps the three bye weeks after playing the Patriots skew the results, but it does not appear playing the Patriots this year wears out a team too much. See, Mike, I look
they
at it another way.
Week.
I look at it as, after playing the Patriots, the teams kind of, have more confidence. Like the Tennessee Titans. Turned around and won the week after getting blistered.
They had a bye.
Oh, they had a bye. But they won after that.
Yeah, but
I think both any of these arguments are flawed if there's a bye involved.
Why would the Tennessee Titans have come out of their game with the Patriots with even a sliver of confidence?
No, because it was a come to Jesus game. Not,
oh,
you
stop
know,
it.
Where they said, we can't let this happen.
Let's move
anymore.
On. Let's not waste any more time on this.
Yeah, it's forget it.
Read an email.
And there's been years that the team the week after has had a miserable record, and that doesn't mean anything either. It's just circumstance.
Joel and Merrimack, Eric. Hey, Eric. Oh, wait, he's not there. Anyway, is Florio talking about the pass looking at Johnson if he makes it past waivers? What do you think? I don't think they're going to take him.
Yeah, Bill, let's put it this way. Bill was pretty convincing yesterday if they have any plans to sign him at all.
Yeah.
I don't want him.
What's
his?
I
don't want the player. Forget the person. I don't even want the player.
What's his contract?
I don't know. Well, am I going to lie and say, oh,
he's
going to
make at least
much.
$2 million, at least, against the cap this year.
Total. I'm kind of asking what you're acquiring if you claim.
Oh, you mean after this year? I don't know.
Well
this year
matter.
And after that.
No, just this year because if you don't want him, you just cut him. You're not on the
you're
hook.
You're on the hook if you take him.
Right.
Sorry.
But I just for know. This year, not for next year.
Right.
TG and NJ Pauly, what did you say to Moss to make him run from the podium at the after the game presser?
That was Tom Curran.
John Gruden is the new Joey Sunshine. He loves everybody. At least Jaws is more critical. Gruden just gushes about everybody all the time. After a while, it gets to be a bit much.
He is a gusher.
I'm not the biggest Gruden in the booth fan. I'd rather have Gruden back down on the sideline making his Chucky faces and dropping F-bombs. It's much more entertaining.
TG, I'm with you. I'm only lukewarm on the Gruden
I love him.
Broadcast bandwagon.
So, Andy, looks like your Steelers are going to ride MR ridiculous
Mendenhall
back to the Super Bowl.
Is ridiculous.
Simple question. How could the Pats beat the Colts this time around? There are new matchups for both teams, but it seems the Colts' offense is clicking, whereas the Pats are still trying to find itself.
What?
Michael Ray Richardson?
They're not clicking. Last 2 weeks, they haven't clicked. So.
And the Patriots... the last three games have clicked.
Right.
I mean, you guys can argue your red zone thing, and we got an SPFW that said, can we just start scoring outside the 20 because we're not good enough in it and all that?
I just think the Patriots' offense has been at a pretty high level for most of the year. It's getting better to me every week. This past week, give Miami some credit. They forced some field goals.
And, you know, the Colts, when they've had to do it, they've done it.
Right.
And that's Manning. You know, so we'll see. It's going to be very interesting.
Yeah,
this game could go anyway.
What I didn't know about the Indy game, which was kind of interesting, I told you guys because I looked that up at halftime, they absolutely dominated the first half. They had something like 300 yards of offense in the first half to less than 100, and they only had a 13-3 lead. Well, the Colts are up 13-0, and they were in the red zone or close to the red zone. They got picked off inside the red zone with less than a minute left in the half. That's a huge swing right there. They're looking to make it 20-0 at the half. That's game, set, match. He throws a pick there, and all of a sudden they kick a 56-yard field goal on the last play of the half to make it 13-3, and all of a sudden Houston had life. I mean, that game wasn't as close as the score, but that's what Indy has done a couple of times. They've let teams hang around, and if they do that to the Patriots will beat them because they have too much offense. If you let the Patriots hang around, there's no way they won't win.
You know what's funny?
Yeah.
You know a name I haven't heard all year, and not even from us in the last 10 days, really?
What?
Jim Caldwell. No one talks about him. He's irrelevant.
Yeah.
It's Peyton Manning's team. It's like no one even
it's
references first-year coach.
Yeah, they talk about Tom Moore more than they do Caldwell.
It's funny with
him. I haven't heard his name.
You know, and him more so because he's only been around for 8 games. But Mike Tomlin's another guy that I don't think people talk about in terms of now, I don't know. I'm not close enough to the situation. Maybe Dick LeBeau's doing all the coaching in Pittsburgh.
That's right.
And maybe he doesn't deserve the credit. I don't know. And certainly I would say that Tom Moore and Peyton Manning are doing all the coaching in Indy. But I don't. Maybe that's not fair. Maybe it's just a bad assumption on our part.
I just think it's funny. No one talks about him at all.
You're
usually, like,
right.
Some
no
people
coaches
you know what? He's probably good with that.
Right.
No coach has ever done
I'll collect
that,
three you know. Super Bowl rings. Don't ever say my name.
Right? First time it's ever been done, right? First 8 games.
Yeah. Is that right?
Well, he and McDaniels were, like, all these stat numbers to start, but everybody was blowing McDaniels and not really over. Can I not say that?
Oh, it's all right. Hey.
Sorry.
508-543-7482 is the phone number. On the phone right now is the one and only Sam from Chicago. Sam, what?
No. I wrote you a note that said there's an email from Sam in Chicago.
You can't read. Well, can't read.
If there's an email, I'll
We've
get
wasted
to it.
Millions of dollars because
you were
the
talking
man
about
simply
it. I
can't
to
read.
Call
and that's
to
not true. Most of the emailers know you never get
I
to
I actually
them.
Have the email open in front of me, and then I said, well, she's on the phone. We'll just talk to her.
Okay.
Or him.
So can we read the email?
So it's just an email?
Yes, there is somebody on the phone, though.
Oh, Christ, don't confuse him anymore.
Who is it?
Steve in Oregon.
Well, hold on, Steve. Sam in Chicago
says... Have another
says,
kid while you're waiting.
Sam in Chicago says, it takes more than a flattering comment of, it made it move, to scare me away.
Yeah!
I'll send you a photo of me at the indie game this Sunday so you can judge for yourself if I'm for real or not.
Well, if you're
I'll lay to
game,
rest Eric's comment of, it must be too good to be true.
You want to eat my salad?
If you're going to be at Indy, we got an open reservation at the
Weber
Grill
we
Saturday
night. We do have
night.
A reservation for four, and there will only be three of us. So
we were holding it for
welcome.
B-Lo, but we'd much rather have you.
Right.
Can I come?
No.
You're going to the game? Uh-oh.
You're going to this game,
well,
too?
You have to go out, though. You can't come with us.
We'll be on your bus right up until you drop us off at the
one of these
grill.
Games, they're going to leave them there.
Until the scurrying rats get off.
This is a good one for you because I don't think they do much in-game entertainment either, so it'll be a good comparison.
I want
to. I'd like to see the rules that they break.
Yeah, and also
oh,
if they
God.
Pipe in music and turn up the heat.
It's always about the rules.
I think they're doing less of the turning up the heat now that it's kind of open.
No, but you know it gets warm in there.
Well, they keep the window
they
open.
Well, they have the fans, but I heard that they're going to blow in H1N1 virus onto our sidelines.
Just our sideline,
right? I heard they're going to do that with those fans.
All right, can we read Sam's email? Was that it?
That was it.
Oh.
Yeah.
So I have to wait for the picture?
So who's on the phone?
Steven in Oregon.
Oh, Steve, how you doing?
Hello, Fred.
I'm hello.
How's it going, guys?
Do you have any more kids since the last time we talked?
No, actually, unfortunately, I do have sad news in that part. She actually did lose the baby last week.
Oh,
jeez.
So,
yeah, it's pretty
see,
sad.
See, Andy, you get me down
weeks,
these roads all the time.
2 weeks ago today, actually, now that I think about it, and so...
Sorry to hear that, Steve.
Yeah, I've been listening to you guys making me laugh, so well, that's good news right there.
Glad we could
so.
Do that.
Yeah. I do have a little bit apologies. Of beef with Fred, though. I have been calling and calling and calling, and no one answers, so I thought I'd decide to listen to the show live and call during the show. I thought you were going to do it like you did the emails, and you have to call during the show now.
Wait, well, you do.
You've been calling on off hours?
There's no one here.
No, come on. I'm just giving Fred a hard time about the emails.
That's a good one, Steve. I like it.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you know, it does say in my podcast when I download it, it says, send in your emails now for the next show.
And Fred won't read them.
Fred won't read them. It's disrespectful to the people who listen in live.
Well, the ones that email during the show, they're usually emailing about something we're talking about. You know,
and so Lord only knows what we're talking about.
It's all about pacing. It's all about pacing.
I agree.
You know?
You got to think.
Yeah.
Forget it.
Think I've been in radio Fred. For think God. Podcast. I've been in radio for a
where
long time.
Where did I leave my
time.
Keys?
You lying your ass off.
You've never been in radio.
What's that?
You've never been in radio.
What are you talking about?
I thought you were talking about Paul never been on radio.
Well, Fred's been. I mean, Paul's been on radio.
I gave Paul a start. Yeah, I gave Paul a start.
He did. Fred gave me my start.
Oh, that's good.
And finish.
Thanks, Fred. Appreciate that. Paul's a great guy.
Thanks, Steve.
There you go.
I can say I can sense
the
sincerity.
About the game, actually, I thought I'd talk a little football for a couple of minutes.
Why?
You guys don't mind?
Sure.
Okay, Fred? Okay. Yeah. I was kind of had to fast get on the game. I had a busy Sunday, but I TiVo it all the time. And Brady seemed to be a little bit more comfortable this week with Aiken and didn't really seem to be able to find anything with Brandon Tate. Did you – is it – I don't know. Just trying to look. Is Sam becoming a more viable option or is – just Tate needs a little bit more time, I think, obviously, with getting used to the system there. But how do you think Aiken is now performing, seeming to be as the third receiver without Edelman in there?
I think Aiken is kind of the same as he's always been. He had a catch. He made a nice catch on a ball that was zipped, kind of almost surprised himself that he caught it, I think. But at other times, he just doesn't look like a natural NFL-quality receiver. He drew a pass interference call at one point. I just think it's more of the second thing you said. I think Tate is not quite ready to be a counted-on aspect of this offense, so somebody needs to fill those reps, and that guy's Aiken until the point when Tate can take over.
Mm-hmm. And then I tried to do the best I could to keep my eye on Vollmer all week to see how he was performing, and obviously, you know, they don't focus that on the game and stuff like that. But he seemed to do very well. It looked like he had help a couple times with a tight end on his side.
Yep.
But how do you guys rate how he did this week against Miami?
I would rate him like I've rated Light over the years. Good enough, and he had help. He clearly had help. They have a decent pass rush, but I think he was better than he was the week earlier when he had, what is it, three holding calls.
Yes.
So I think he's making advancements, and sounds like there's a competition brewing, or that he is sooner rather than later going to be a legitimate option, regardless of health, for everyone involved as your left tackle.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
I see.
So, you know, Fred's guy, if you remember. On draft day, he said Sebastian Vollmer was going to be the starter for this team within the year, and he was right.
Well, he's got to get one out of a million, right, doesn't he?
I had Robbie Gould.
He did have Robbie Gould. In the 6 years in between, nothing.
He did.
Oh, there you go.
All right, Steve.
$2 million. Thanks, Fred.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks
for the great show. Okay.
Thanks, Steven.
That's sad news out of Oregon.
Yeah.
Nice job, Paul.
I feel awful.
You do have a knack for doing those types of things.
I've been through it. It hurts.
You have a knack for that, though. You like...
Because I never
take 1,000 shots, and you take one, and
that's the way it works.
You're like,
because it's so out of character for me to make a comment like that, that it comes back and bites me.
Let's see. Preston from Brockton writes in, is it possible that we might actually get pressure on Manning this game? We all know he will kill us if we fail to at least attempt to apply pressure. I like Bannekane, but Manning will torch us if we are not consistently applying pressure. What do you think? And do you think Belly will throw blitzes this year?
Yes, this year.
This year against the Colts, he's saying.
Andy
doesn't think
much.
You're going to get a lot. I think you're going to have to see some because I don't think you can get away with it. I don't think you can sit back against Brady and Manning and live to tell about it. Now,
this is a coming out parade for Mike Wright and Derek Burgess and Tully Bantakane. All these afterthoughts you're going
to
be praising.
We do have a Colts fan that listens to us.
Yes,
we do.
I'd like him to, you know, either call or email in and tell us what, you know, what the thinking is in Indy. You know,
I wonder if they're thinking, "Oh crap," with the injuries.
Yeah,
of course they are. Of course they are. They have to be.
Well, they don't have to be. I mean, they still have Manning, and it's at home, and I would say the Patriots aren't as high as they've ridden at times in this rivalry. So, I think there's reason. Why shouldn't they be licking their chops and say, Patriots secondary's not that good. Brandon Merriweather will bounce right off Dallas Clark, and he'll be running down the field.
But the difference is the Patriots secondary has been intact.
No, I know. I'm just trying to drum up the Colts side of it. Yeah, you want to get to that?
What's
Brandon
that?
Merriweather's tackling? Or lack thereof?
Well, he missed a couple tackles.
People post-game were like, worst game. What did they say?
Who said that?
You know how many good tackles he had in that game?
Three.
No, he did pretty
well. He only
had
three tackles, so he couldn't have had more than three.
He didn't have a good game Sunday.
They were good tackles.
He didn't have a good game Sunday, Fred. Mm-hmm. And you know what I would like? I think we need to start doing this. Doc, I want you to bring one of those recorders up to the press box because we need to get Fred's comments mid-game on as part of the show because he's two different people. He's the guy that watches the game and rips every other play /player, and then the guy that comes on here and says the opposite.
Because then I have a chance to settle down and
cooler
not
heads
be
prevail.
Knee-jerk.
But it's not knee-jerk to watch a play.
Every secondary guy misses a tackle in the course of a game. Every... You know, from Champ Bailey on down, if you watched last night.
I'm telling you.
Champ Bailey's
Mary
still Weather pretty good.
Misses a half dozen a week.
I've been watching
Merriweather
guys
had
play
a little
this
bit
year.
More of a problem than others.
I've been watching two guys play this year.
But I saw McGowan make some pretty damn good tackles.
Absolutely. He's an excellent tackler.
How are those two sentences just related in any way?
That's what he does, and he thinks he's going to trick you. Merriweather, on the other hand, missed a lot of tackles.
Yeah, but
wait, who are you
talking about Merriweather? We're talking about McGowan.
No, we're talking about
Merriweather. We're talking about Merriweather.
Oh, then I apologize.
That's why I said I wanted to have the recorder during the
you
game.
You know how many tackles
you
made?
Three. Were absolutely killing Merriweather during the game.
No. McGowan's confusing himself.
I thought you were saying McGowan had a bad game.
I'll give you the recorder at the next
McGowan
game.
McGowan is very good.
Okay,
McGowan missed a tackle or two.
I misheard.
I think
I missed.
He's excellent.
Fred, see the difference? I think there should be hype on the safety in New England, but I think it should be McGowan who's getting hyped, not Merriweather, and everybody's hyping Merriweather.
No, you're right.
With McGowan has been great.
With each game that passes,
support,
I think it's even more
McGowan
important.
Everything.
Has been better.
He's always around the ball.
I
thought he was the guy who stopped Tony Gonzalez single-handedly.
Yep. Yeah. He did that.
He's had a great year.
That play.
Merriweather has not had a great year because he's missed too many tackles.
He is a poor man's Rodney Harrison right now.
And I know what didn't end up mattering.
I think he's like close to Rodney Harrison back when we were
really
praising
him. I don't want to put him in the Hall of Fame yet, but he's
I'm not putting Rodney in the Hall of Fame either.
We're not putting him in the Hall of
Fame. But he's that player for the Patriots right now.
But the old Rodney Harrison, like the not as good, but 03, 04.
The enforcer.
When they had that aspect to every time he's around a guy, the ball pops loose. The ball always comes out at the end of the play.
That's good.
Because they're afraid.
Merriweather, every time he's around the guy, the guy runs by him.
All right, so now on the phone we have Jim from Texas, who bought us lunch today.
Jimmy!
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How are you doing?
Thank you, Jim. You just got off the phone with John in Dallas. He was going to call you.
Oh, he was?
Are you on a boat right now?
No, I got off early this morning as far as that goes. I'm actually on my way back to my apartment in Beaumont, Texas.
Well, thank you so much for lunch today. That
I thought you were going to say for your service.
No, that was no. Thank you for your service too. But thank you for lunch today.
Well, listen, I'm always the one to always tell you this. I never buy you guys lunch. I'm merely investing in the company. And Fred, I need to talk to you about the company as far as that goes.
Oh.
Between you violating the FCC bylaws or whatever with some of your F-bombs you drop or working Eric to pieces, I think the FCC OSHA is going to shut you down anyway. So. I may not buy you lunch again anyways because, you know, you might get closed up by some government agency. So, but beyond all that,
don't worry, I'll take the fall.
You will. Oh, Mr. Martyr in the booth.
Well, anyways, if I could chime in about Larry Johnson as a possible landing in New England, I think it would be a good pickup for us. I mean, first and foremost, he's not going to command a great deal of money. In fact, if we pick him up on waivers, you're only talking about $1 million. And I think most teams in the league by 28 to all, maybe even all 32 have at least $1 million under the cap, because you got to figure half of his $2.2 million salaries, it's going to be prorated, so you only got 8 games.
No, I think his salary was over 4.
So when
you're prorated, it's about two.
Okay, well that's still,
so it's not that much more, but yeah.
No, it's not. I mean, I think most teams would have at least $2 million under the cap. I would say.
Right.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a money.
No, I don't
thing
think the money's
me.
The
I
issue.
I don't want him.
Yeah.
You don't want him.
But he hasn't played that well lately.
Well, look at the team he's got, though, Fred. I mean, they've got the best receiver they traded to Atlanta.
I know, but Barry Sanders was pretty good on a bad team. I mean, if you're a running back, you're a good running back.
Oh, I don't agree with that at all. I mean, okay, put it this way. You put Barry Sanders on any team, he'd have been a great running back. You put Emmitt Smith on them same Detroit Lions.
That's my point.
Well, Emmitt Smith's not Emmitt Smith if he plays for the Lions his whole career. Barry was special. I mean, if you put Terrell Davis on most teams, I'm not so sure he'd have the success he had in Denver either. So,
well, I don't know.
I mean, it's not one thing. It's generally a combination therein. But like I said, if he doesn't work, it would upgrade our running game, I would say to you. And if he's got nothing left, you know, Bill, as always, would cut him. But who is he beating out? Sammy Morris? He hasn't played in a couple weeks. Fred Taylor?
Well, if they do bring him in, which I doubt, it does tell you something about the injuries to Fred Taylor and Sammy Morris.
I agree with that.
Well, I would think one of them would go on IR if they...
Yeah, and I kind of think that, well, that's my reasoning behind a lot of it, too, is I haven't heard anything about, you know, those two guys. But the upside, though, is Lawrence Maroney, I mean, maybe you haven't talked about this, he had a very good game for him. He played, he looked like a legitimate NFL running back.
Look, I think he's played well the last 3 weeks.
Yes, I would agree completely. But I think last week was his best game he's had in terms of picking up the blitz, running the football, number of carries, doing his job. I mean, nothing spectacular.
Right.
He danced on a couple of plays, which irritated me, like Brandon Merriweather when he whiffed on it about, I'd say there was at least 2 or 3 times he didn't get a tackle and it recorded because he completely overran the play, or he bumped the guy and the guy bounced off him and ran for 3 more yards. But
yep.
I'm not ready to throw Brandon completely under the bus. I mean, there's no sense in doing that. But he is a terrible tackler. There is no question of that. And as far as McGowan goes, he's been everything you could ever hope for out of a guy that was a street free agent who had a long history of injuries in the league. So very encouraged about that. And I would also say this, too. I don't know if you talked about this. That was probably by far and away this year at Dallas Thomas' best game as a Patriot. He was actually he actually mattered. He was able to get pressure on the passer, and he made a couple of nice stops, too, though. I thought he played a very good game.
Yeah, this year I think I'd have to agree because he hasn't had – The stick isn't that high.
Yeah, this year I think.
But you're right.
We haven't noticed him at all this year.
Yeah, but
we noticed him on Sunday.
Yeah,
he knocked down a pass early.
Yeah.
He had the big play on the double reverse.
Right.
That was probably going to be a trick play of some sort. That who knows what the result would have been. But I mean, you go back to go back to the Super Bowl. Dallas Thomas was an animal in that game.
Absolutely,
he's had good games as a Patriot, just not
many.
This year.
No, and then it's like, well, that to me was very encouraging. That was probably the worst game of secondary played all year. And I don't know if you pointed this out or not. I don't claim to be the pro expert that you guys are as far as the Dolphins go. I probably have watched them play 3 games this year, including the Monday night game against the Colts. Chad Henning looked like a really good player all of a sudden. I mean, Henning, he did not look like some guy that I thought was just some guy. He had a, to me, he was completing passes in our secondary. It was, and it's not like he's got, you know, Taylor and Rice running patterns for him. I thought the one thing, if I was a Dolphins fan, is how do you not use this guy more than they did? They took in Pat White on some plays just to run the ball. To me, whenever he threw the ball, it seemed like he completed it.
I have to really disagree with that. I thought he was not very good. I think they would have been more competitive had they had a different quarterback. And I think he's a guy that I said to – I don't think he's got wow skills. So if you don't have wow skills, to me, then you have to be the cerebral game manager who makes
really
all the
accurate.
Right decisions. And I didn't think he was accurate. I thought when there was pressure, he underthrew it and was greatly affected by a guy who was a step and a half away rather than just a guy hitting him. I was not impressed with Chad Henning.
Yeah, I thought there was some key third down throws that he had available that he just was off target on, and short off target. I mean, you don't see that a lot in the NFL where you're throwing the ball at guys' feet consistently.
I agree with the other part. He does not have Jerry Rice or John Taylor.
No, they have terrible.
He's got no receivers.
Jim's right about that. They don't have any weapons in the
passing game. Ted Ginn is awful.
Terrible.
What a bust.
And then they have a bunch of Jag, nice little players. I know that you don't like
him. Camarillo's pretty good. He's on your list.
He disappeared. I said to Paul, where's this Camarillo guy who used to be the Wes Welker of this team? Right. He had a couple plays late to pick up some numbers.
I wonder if that knee injury that he suffered last year is maybe stripped away already questionable speed.
Right.
Because he is a non-factor. Hartline dropped a couple of passes, although he did catch one with a big hit on McGowan. They don't have good weapons.
Maybe he played really well in the first half because – when I was watching that game, and I was able to get the game in down here, which I was very pleased about, I thought that he completed a lot of passes against our secondary where we looked like we were just playing soft. But again, I'm not saying that Chad Henne is the next coming of anybody spectacular, but for him as a pro, because I've thought that he has been nothing more than just some guy to have, like, you know, I don't know, he's no different than, to me, that guy that plays for Baltimore a couple of years ago, the former quarterback from Ohio State.
Troy Smith?
Yeah, it's like, you know, he's just some guy. It's like, you know, Tyra Smith, Tyra Banks, that's it. Tony Banks? Yeah, well, same thing. I mean, it's just like, he's just some guy that they got in the league or whatever. You know, there's 32 quarterbacks that start in the league, but I'd say maybe 27 or 28 of them are legitimate starters, and the other four, not so much. So, you know, anyways, I'm glad they beat the Dolphins. Just one more thing is finally, let's go. If we beat Indianapolis this coming week, we will be in the driver's seat to get a bye. If we don't win it this week, we're probably not going to have a bye, because I think we're going to go by Denver, who's right now 6-2 with a game head to head in hand. I don't see us catching Cincinnati. Their schedule is very weak the rest of the year. I think that Indianapolis' schedule beyond us, they could very easily win at least one or two more games. If we have a head to head victory on them, that will vault us ahead of them. I think that we'll be ahead of Denver as well. So, and I'm not so sure about Pittsburgh or San Diego. I don't know if they're going to get by us because their schedule is a little tough. But if we don't beat Indianapolis this week, we probably are looking at either third or fourth seed going into the playoffs. And always, guys, thank you very much for your service. And
thank you for lunch, Jim.
Yeah, and thank you for your service tomorrow, right?
More importantly, thank you for lunch, Jim.
Bad guy.
Why? Why?
I care about his commitment to this country.
That's because you're not fat.
All right. Webradio@patriots.com.
I had a Paul Perillo moment. I looked in the mirror, and I was like, what is that thing?
Brad writes in, tell me when the Colts have not been soft as a team as a whole. The league has changed defense.
The last 3 or 4 years, I don't think they've been soft.
The league has changed defense's approach to the game just to keep the Colts' offense from getting killed. Harrison, Clark, Gonzalez, and Wayne all fall to the ground at slightest inkling of contact. When have you seen a die cram it up the middle? They run that stupid stretch play just to keep a die from contact. Bill needs to show the game where McGinnis continually cream Marshall Faulk in the backfield and never let him get out in a pattern, and tell Bodden and McGowan to do that to Wayne and Clark. Law's 3 interceptions against Manning came because we were smacking him all game long. All right, have a great day, and just one win, Pats, you can do it. So, Brad looking for a physical game.
Could be.
Paul's sleeping. You've checked out.
No, there's less than 10 minutes left. I don't have time for that email.
So that's it? Okay.
It would take me 20 to go through a rant.
Say stupid.
Kevin says, hey, Fred, Paul, and Eric. No Andy in there.
Screw you, Kevin.
I wrote in last week and said that Miami scared the hell out of me. I was almost right. It was a great game. I'm not as worried about the Colts. Call me crazy, but I think the Colts are definitely benefiting from their schedule. I think Brady, Moss, Welker, and believe it or not, even Maroney will have a huge day. He's another guy that loves the indoors. The Colts D is in shambles, and our offensive line is playing lights out. Do you think that the O-line can do the same to Mathis and Freeney?
Yes. I think the Patriots' offense will not be an issue on Sunday.
I agree.
They're going to pile up a lot of points.
All right. There was something else I was going to talk about. I forgot. Anyway, Jay writes in, there was a call that I couldn't believe Bill didn't challenge in the game. I believe it was Lee Bodden who got called for pass interference near the end zone. The problem was the ball was tipped at the line of scrimmage. You could see the ball start to wobble after the ball passed the leaping Pats defender. This would have negated the interference call, would have kept the Finns about 20 yards further upfield.
It was roughing the passer called on that play. That was the Chung play, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
The Chung Burgess play that was roughing the pad. Everybody's looking at me with like glazed eyes.
I don't recall. Yeah,
I believe that was the same play. The Patriots had two fouls on the play, both on the defense, roughing the passer and passing. I think it was called pass interference. Maybe the pass interference could have been negated. I didn't see the ball get tipped, but maybe it did. But regardless, it was roughing the passer. So
now I remember.
There's no sense of challenging it when you can't win.
Right.
It's going to be a penalty either way.
You can't win, Rock.
Iggy from Madrid. Hey, Fred, Paul, Andy, and Eric. Cannot listen live, so excuse me if you have touched this before. I heard Tom Brady on EI say that it was his idea to throw one last time to Moss at the end of the first half. Excuse me? If you are told by the coaches to spike the football, spike the freaking football. A game is not a debate. It's not about democracy. Nobody, including Brady, should have the power to disregard the orders from the coaches, especially in this situation. The coach has the best perspective of time remaining, timeouts, and yardage, so it is his decision, not Tom's decision. Do you agree?
Amigo con grande cabeza.
He said that post-game.
Okay, Andy was in on the Brady. I was going to defer to Andy.
He said that it was his fault, his decision.
Yeah, he won't do it again.
Belichick told him specifically to spike it?
No one ever said that disregarded a direct order to spike the ball.
That's different.
Yeah, no, there was no. I don't know exactly how the communication went. He just said it was his decision and he cut it too close.
Well, he said they were looking for a spike. That's what he said. He said they were looking for a spike.
They being the coaches?
I'm assuming the sideline.
Because he must have said that on EEI. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he didn't say that post.
Monday morning.
Okay, because if I'm with Iggy. If the coaching staff expected a spike, I'm with Iggy. You spike the ball. You do what you're told.
But
now, it's one thing to say, it's a fourth down play and you lobby to your sideline. Come on, I think we can go for it or whatever. But that's different than a situation like that because Iggy's right. The sideline has the clock and they know what's going down. Tom is in the middle of the field. He might have glanced at the clock and said, I can make it. The sideline knows. And
That was the quickest stop of time ever.
I think it was legit.
I don't think
the ball
barely hit the ground.
They just let it run. More often than not, they actually fail to stop it. They give it an extra second.
Right.
I think this, they just stop
They stopped the ball hit the ground instead of playing the
whistle.
But
I think usually
I think
it's like
difference.
A second after the whistle. I think more often than it's one of those things.
I agree with you, and I think that's what made it lucky.
But in a case like this, you go to the ref, say, look, we're going to go one more,
But you don't have time. Play was live.
See, that's my guess. My guess is Brady had a set of plays that they were running. They had a couple. They always talk about they know the situation. There's two play, and I think it was if X happens, we're spiking it and we'll kick it. But if you have Y, then we have time for a fade to Moss or whatever, and then if we don't get it, we'll kick it. And I think the miscommunication is Brady thought we had Y when really he kind of had X. He didn't really have time for option B. He should have gone option A, and
I think that's really close. And I agree with
Andy.
I agree with Andy. Yeah, and Tom basically saying that
a number of times.
If it was NBA,
not
and
something
they had
we want to get used to doing. Do too
had,
often.
If they had the decimal point, it would have been point one.
Well,
because it was it was immediately when the ball hit the turf. All of a sudden, the clock stopped.
Right.
And that was really.
And he joked about hopefully the clock operator's a Patriots fan. And
on that Bodden play, I was thinking a little bit further. And I'll have to check the game book, but I think he may even have been called for an illegal hand to the face.
I was 99%. I didn't want to say it because my memory's terrible. It wasn't pass interference.
Now
because
that
I thought for sure it was an obvious call, even disregarding whether there was a tip ball. It was an obvious. You take the 15-yard roughing the passer
was more. Yeah, because they would have taken the
pass
interference.
That's my point. It was a longer pass interference, so I don't think it was pass interference.
It was on the same play, by the way.
Yeah.
The pick came on the same play.
David from Atlanta, I think we did an amazing job against Miami. Bill normally plays conservative the first game against Miami on both offense and defense. It was a huge division game. About this upcoming game against the Colts.
He certainly didn't play conservative on Sunday.
Yeah, I have not heard any of you mention that three of the starting defensive backs are inactive next week. They almost lost to the Texans. I'll call the score now, 34-10. Joseph Addai, the only touchdown for the Colts. You are going to see a big shutdown defense by the Patriots as well. I'm probably just making guesses, but I don't see the Colts doing anything. David from Atlanta.
Doing anything?
I'm not sure what the Colts missing guys in the secondary has to do with their offense only scoring 10 points, but who's to say? I don't know.
Haven't been lighting it up of late, so.
No, but 10 points is a little different than.
No, I know.
You know, not lighting it up.
So, it's just one of those days. Jim Caldwell not getting it done. I'm going to start saying his name all the time.
Jim Caldwell. It all comes on Jim Caldwell.
That's the biggest difference in this series, Jim Caldwell.
I did say that's a mismatch in the matchup thing.
Well, is it too early, though, for.
Somebody's got to.
Undefeated to become a factor mentally for a team?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think you get the Colts looking past the Patriots one iota.
No.
This is the game they schedule, they know.
Yeah, if they played this in week 16 to go on, it would have nothing to do with the undefeated thing, everything to do with the Patriots.
They've been, just like we've been through this game before, they've been through it before. They're all the same. I mean, the key players.
It's like when we beat them in 07.
Peter Waiter's never been through it before.
But in 07, that game out there was around the same time, first week of November. That didn't have anything to do with the teams were undefeated and feeling the heat of that. It was Patriots-Colts.
It's Patriots-Colts. It's the best rivalry in football.
Both teams were undefeated in that game.
They have to hit John? Manning so hard the urine comes out of his head.
You know why that happens, right?
Go ahead, Fred. Tell him.
Why does that happen?
Fred.
He looks like a penis.
His head looks like a penis.
Oh, okay.
See the magic? Nice. This is the magic of our show.
We still like him, though. We still respect Peyton Manning.
Likes a strong word.
No, we still like Peyton
Manning. We respect him.
He's a great quarterback.
He is a very good quarterback.
John Rooks here.
Fred's just come around to that like last year, by the way.
He didn't used to respect him, like him, put up with him, anything.
I don't know how you couldn't, Fred.
No,
how
I like.
Could you not?
I like Manning. I really do. I really love.
He's taken a mediocre team this year and put it literally on his shoulders.
He absolutely has, and I like the way he plays football and approaches the game and his knowledge of the game. It's unbelievable. It's uncanny.
He's
got Larry Bird like awareness of what's
going
on.
I'll tell you why you don't
like. Why
is it going to
be
Peyton
Bird?
Manning.
Couldn't it be
Joe? I don't like Bill Polian.
It's Bill become Polian. A complete role reversal with him and him and Brady.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that.
Brady used to be the guy that got it done with all these spare parts and you know, complimentary receivers.
Right.
Now Manning is
now
doing
Manning's
it like
the
that.
Guy. Yeah.
Yes, Bill Polian, he of the Patriots.
Right.
Although Andy has a very nice piece in this week's PFW comparing the two Bills, Bill Belichick and Bill Polian.
Nice.
Did you know that Bill Polian? Should I sell the little secret, the little teaser?
At this point, it's out. Yeah.
It's out there. Go buy it on your newsstands if you want to read it. Longtime friend of Steve Belichick.
I think I knew that.
Through Dominial.
Okay.
All right. Or Aniel. A-N-I-L-E.
Was it Dominatrix?
I think I knew
that. Anilly?
I don't know. That does sound like the
Any Summers on the Cape. You might have run across
Cape
League
that.
Baseball. Do you do Cape League Baseball
for
anything?
On occasion, I go watch it play.
I thought maybe you would.
No, I don't broadcast. No. But definitely
do they broadcast
it?
All right,
yeah,
John,
actually, they do locally. Really? I know why you don't like Peyton Manning.
Why?
Because he does all those stink commercials. Everybody thinks
it's
he's way too hyped and too marketed.
That's the thing I like about him. I think he's good enough.
Well, I think he's very personable.
Yeah.
That's why he carries it off. You know,
self-deprecating.
Yes.
Fine.
Yes.
I have no problem with
it. The best spot I think he's ever been in was the spot he did with his brother and his father and his mother touring the ESPN
and
studios.
They're kicking each other and whacking
each other, giving each other wet willies, and that's hilarious.
Yeah, it's good. All right, so John, what do you got going?
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, that's good, John. Thanks for wasting the last 30 seconds.
It's a 30-second waste.
What do you got going? Because we have to go to TV and I have to go to the bathroom. So,
well, then by all means, just please go.
No, but I'm doing the crossover.
Not in the studio.
Okay. I'm doing the crossover thing.
The
Jason
crossover
tells
thing
me to. Well, you know, we'll nitpick Tuesday today.
Okay,
that's our big
Tuesday.
Day. We'll get some things to
I
nitpick.
I hear tomorrow.
On.
Start
we
with
have
Brent.
A special guest.
Very.
But I'm not going to give out the secret.
No,
yet,
can't do that yet.
But a very
special
guest.
A hint? Make it real vague. Challenge me.
Real vague. Okay.
Paul wants to marry
You know
him.
The answer.
I do?
Yes.
Yeah, you know the you would know the answer. No
matter well, talked about this
tease
before
me.
The show started.
All right, I got to go.
You really are getting
right, Fred's got to go. John can talk about it in the next 2 hours with Patriot Playbook. We'll see you tomorrow.
I remembered.